United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, Good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And the number is 347-945-5229. And today is the 18th of July, 2016. I'm sitting in the studio with Jeff and AJ. And it is a great day. The sun is shining. I was up late last night. I couldn't sleep. And so I was doing some research, watching Netflix, checking out some music. And I came across some Luther Vandross music, and I was like, wow, voice is just gone. I mean, it was him, it was Whitney Houston. They were singing together a duet, or it was really amazing. And then I found this one in Gregory Hines, and it was like, wow, they're gone.
Beautiful.
Gone.
Voice is gone. And I'm like, wow, what do you do with that? And so I decided that today was going to be probably a Luther Whitney. I got to play That's What Friends Are For before the day is out. It's almost like just, wow, they're just gone. And I don't think we have that quality of voice and that quality of talent. And when you put those two together, that was just amazing. And being that I had known both of them, wow.
I need to put that song as my alarm clock, how peaceful that is.
No, because it'll sleep right through it.
I know, but almost put me to sleep right
through it. Sleep right through it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But it is. It's a great ballad. And I don't think this kind of music is actually being produced today.
Mm.
I don't think the talent's there.
No.
I don't think the desire's there. I don't think the writing ability is there. And I don't think the music industry is embracing that type of quality anymore.
Music is like children. You have a lot of them, but there's always that one special one that always sticks out. That's always the best. And there are some songs today that come out that are that special song that's like, wow, that,
you know, like Happy.
Yeah, that's a good song, and you know it.
Yeah. But when I say, I'm just talking about the, I mean,
yeah, I understand what you mean.
When you look at the talent of those two people together,
mm-hmm.
It's like that was a lot of talent in that room. Even when you had Mike McDonald, and he's still living,
mm-hmm.
Michael McDonald and Patti LaBelle,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's that duet right there was just it was just telling.
I liked the, this is not this genre, but an older genre of country with Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton.
Yes.
You Can't Make Old Friends.
Yes.
I really like that song.
They are timeless. But my issue is that they get to live. They've got to live through their life.
Mm-hmm.
And we still get to, because there's a commercial out right now with Kenny Rogers.
Is there?
Yeah. He's playing poker with some people.
I haven't seen it.
I think it's a Geico commercial. And he's playing poker
I love
with
those
some friends.
Commercials.
And he's sitting down, and he's all he's doing is got the no win, the hold on. And it's like, can you imagine playing poker with Kenny Rogers and he's singing that song? After a while, it would get a little irritating. So, I mean, it just breaks my heart. They need to do a story on him, on them. And actually, if they did a story on the lives of the Lost Voices, mm-hmm. black and white,
yeah.
of R&B, country,
uh-huh.
and rhythm and blues, that would be a great, what they call a picography. Is it a picography now they have doing there? It's not a biography, uh-huh. but it's a picography, I believe it is,
uh-huh.
where they're taking certain the artists and doing biographies of them. It's a very, very telling story.
You know what I like is I was telling, I think my sister this the other day, is, you know, George Strait, who is an older country singer but is still making good music, new music today, and he's competing with some of that new pop country, but he is still making what I like to call classic country music, and it's still selling. And I like that George Strait is still up there with some of even the newer genre of country, and he's still competing.
There are a couple. There are a couple that's still competing with it, but
because you have the
but
new.
But in the R&B, there. I mean, it's limited. I mean, right now, outside of the dead man still singing,
mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
I don't know who else is actually competing on that level.
I couldn't tell you.
Good morning, South Carolina. How are you?
Well, Tracy. It has been a very interesting week.
Yeah, you've been hanging out with the liberals, I understand.
I got invited to a conference by some individuals that I know, and I did very well. I did very, very well until last night, and somebody happened to ask me a question. And
you're not supposed to answer questions, didn't you? That's not what you do. You know that, right? Seriously, it's like when I went to President Obama's inauguration. You know, I didn't talk politics. If they asked me how I was doing, it was good. What do you think?
No,
it's an amazing feat. But you don't go into a bar with food. You don't answer no social questions. Then how you doing? Good. You know, it's one
word answers.
Yeah. How, you know, what's your thoughts? Don't have any. Or just amazing. Unbelievable.
Just amazing.
I didn't know you went to President Obama's inauguration.
I mean, you know, you
got yourself kicked out, didn't you, South Carolina?
No.
He's still living.
No, I'm still here, but I'm not. Listen, I've had my fill. I'm not going to that session this morning. I just can't take it.
Where are you attending?
Okay, the Proctor Institute, which is a part of the Children's Defense Fund, has a training and like a conference for ministers and pastors and those that are affiliated with youth and education. At least that's the front. But what it actually is a forum to, for lack of a better word, indoctrinate individuals into the social justice and liberation theology and basically socialism. They don't use that terminology, but that's what it is. I mean, I text Sticks yesterday and told him, I said, Sticks, I found out today, man, that you're the cause of my oppression and it's because of your white supremacy. I'm in the situation that I'm in. And
I could have told you that.
Sticks has been oppressing us for the past 2 years.
I could have told you that. You didn't have to go. You didn't have to
now Ann's here to do it.
I could have told you that. They've been telling you that here on the program for the longest. Don't you listen to the show that you call into every day? They tell you these things. They tell you white supremacy is the problem with everything. You have no blame, no skin in this game.
Yep.
And then you're 100% correct. Now, here's the other thing. Imagine, Diva, if you listen, I love you to death, but imagine being in a room with 200 to 300 women, okay, and they all have the same ideology and they all have the same mindset.
Let me say it this way. I when I go out, and I'm a woman, so I'm around women a lot, and then a lot of times they're very, very liberal. A lot of them are very, very, they're very feminist in their thought process. Let me tell you that this is how you do it. When they say something, you go, wow. You know,
that's what my mother does.
You don't get engaged in the conversation. You know, you don't.
I didn't.
You don't say nothing. No, you don't. You just let your face go blank and go. Huh? It's like a little dog. You ever see a dog look at you like you crazy? And the dog starts moving his head like, what in the world are you doing? That's what you do. Hey.
My mother has said that before, where she says, if I hear someone and I know what they're talking about and they're talking to me, I just go, oh, really? Oh, wow.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. You don't get engaged. You don't talk. You don't get engaged in the conversation when you're outnumbered.
Oh, that's sad.
Hand me my book,
Jeff.
No, I don't care. That's not today.
It is today.
No, it's not.
It's every day.
No. So
I'm not going to get book. I know.
Important political message. Remarks for Administrator McCarthy. Announcement of Clean Power Plan. Washington, D.C. About a month ago, I took a trip to the Cleveland Clinic. I met a lot of great people, but one stood out then if he needed to stand on a chair to do it. Parker Frey is 10 years old. He's struggled with severe asthma all his life. His mom said despite his challenges, Parker's a tough, active kid and he's a stellar hockey player. But sometimes, she says, the air is too dangerous for him to play outside. In the United States of America, no parent should ever have that worry. Press the star or asterisk button at any time to remove your number from this important political message. That's why EPA exists. Our job, directed by our laws, reaffirmed by our courts, is to protect public health and the environment. Climate change, fueled by carbon pollution, supercharges risks not just to our health, but to our communities, our economy, and our way of life. That's why EPA is delivering on a vital piece of President Obama's climate action plan. I want to thank Janet McCabe, our acting assistant administrator at the Office of Air and Radiation, and the entire EPA team who worked so hard to deliver this proposal. They should be very proud of their work. I know I am. Press the star or asterisk button at any time to remove your number from this important political message. Today, EPA is proposing a clean power plan that will cut carbon pollution from our power sector by using cleaner energy sources and cutting energy waste. Although we limit pollutants like mercury, sulfur, and arsenic, currently, there are no limits on carbon pollution from power plants, our nation's largest source. For the sake of our family's health and our kids' future, we have a moral obligation to act on climate. When we do, we'll turn climate risk into business opportunity, we'll spur innovation and investment, and we'll build a world-leading clean energy economy. Press the star or asterisk button at any time to remove your number from this important political message. The science is clear. The risks are clear. And the high costs of climate inaction keep piling up. Rising temperatures bring more smog, more asthma, and longer allergy seasons. If your kid doesn't use an inhaler, consider yourself a lucky parent, because 1 in 10 children in the U.S. suffers from asthma. Carbon pollution from power plants comes packaged with other dangerous pollutants like particulate matter, nitrogen oxide, and sulfur dioxide.
I want everyone to know I just answered the phone.
I'm speechless for the first time in my life.
I am I just answered.
Client inaction is costing us more money.
I just answered the phone.
More often.
Is that a
do you hear this stuff they're saying?
I know. That's why we're listening to it.
For natural
disasters, I thought our show got interrupted, or your show got interrupted.
It did. It got hijacked.
A changing climate, and when they give way, so do businesses that support them and local economics.
Welcome to the studio, caller.
As our fees rise, so do insurance premiums, property taxes, and.
That woman was one of the speakers.
Could rise 10 degrees.
Did you give her that number?
4 feet.
No.
S&P recently said climate change.
Can you hang it up?
Oh, I can hang it up. I want to hear what they had to say.
Put me to sleep.
Well, go to sleep because you got to hear this mess. If they're calling me, they're calling others. And it gives me time to refute it. Lie. I couldn't ask for a better call in.
Do you have a kid with asthma?
This is not about asthma.
You're not listening.
Local economies and jobs. Press the star or asterisk button at any time to remove your number from this important political message. The time to act is now. That's why President Obama laid out a climate action plan to cut carbon pollution.
I'm trying to find out who paid for this.
And
that's what I'm
going to be now. Climate fight. Today's proposed clean power plan is a critical step forward. Before we put pen to paper, we ask for your advice. Our plan was built on that advice from states, cities, businesses, utilities, and thousands of people. Today kicks off our second phase of crucial engagement. Press the star or asterisk button at any time to remove your number from this important political message. Shaped by public input, present trends, proven technologies, and common sense, our plan aims to cut energy waste and leverage cleaner energy sources by doing two things. First, setting achievable, enforceable state goals to cut carbon pollution per megawatt hour of electricity generated.
This is Stiff calling in.
Laying out a national framework that gives states the flexibility to chart their own, customized path to meet their goals. Press the star or asterisk button at any time to remove your number from this important political message. All told, in 2030, when states meet their goals, our proposal will result in 30% less carbon pollution from the power sector across the U.S. when compared with 2005 levels. That's like canceling out annual carbon pollution from two-thirds of all cars and trucks in America. And if you add up what we'll avoid between...
That was an unsolicited call, but it looked like a phone call coming in, a caller coming in, and she just went on a rant. And... the reason why I'm listening to it, so AJ, and you have to understand, what we do, I couldn't pay for a better interview.
Right.
Because this is going in, she was informing people, and I don't know how we got on the list here, but she was informing people of things that were very, very disingenuous.
Okay.
And it's up to us to actually go ahead and tell people a lot of what they're saying is not true.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, it was based on trying to set up the EPA as President Obama's energy policies are being negated, and he is our friend because if we follow what he's doing and we cut our coal, we will survive and we will live longer here in the state of Ohio. That's pretty much what she's saying.
Okay.
And when
okay.
they say we're going to leverage, you know, energy, the new energy up against the old, more or less, telling you your energy prices for electricity are going up, but they said it in such a way that you don't think
you don't hear it.
You don't hear that.
Okay. And so you have to realize people are getting this phone call. We're not the only one.
Yeah,
okay.
And so when you get that phone call, you know, there are older people who are sitting at home, and they will listen to that also, and they'll be like, oh, wow, I got this message today, and this is what they said, and they might buy into it. Talking about climate change.
Climate change, I heard that.
Talking about asthma in children.
Yeah.
I mean, they threw in, you know, how the kids can't breathe in the United States of America. Well, climate change can come from your diet, ask Dr. Mason and Dr. Danielle.
Asthma can come from...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. your diet. Asthma can come from your diet.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Climate change is always changing, always has and always will.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that are going on in our world that we don't want to address, but they want to blame it on and something that is a commodity to them so that they can make money.
Mm-hmm.
And they want us as the American public to buy into it so that we can take our resources give it to them so they can do what they choose.
And you learn something new every day.
And that's the point. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219.
I'm Julio Flores with your headline news. Percy L. Godfrey had been seeking $50,000 in compensatory and punitive damages, but the defendants, the police department, patrolman Mark Adamo, and Corporal Mark Johnson accused Godfrey of acting out an injury he had not suffered. Godfrey, 34, was arrested in 2002 for allegedly stealing a water heater from a vacant home. During the arrest, Godfrey kicked the police cruiser door and window and tried to kick Adamo and threatened to harm Adamo and his family. Police suggest residents in the McClure area to keep their cars and garages locked due to reports of thefts in the past few days. Someone stole almost $5,000 worth of items from an unlocked garage in the early hours of Monday. Missing items included a TomTom GPS unit and a push mower. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
Hi there, I'm Jeff Kelly, morning radio DJ. I'm here to tell you it's time for a wake-up call, but I'm not talking about that buzzing alarm clock. I'm talking about waking up to the fact that you might have a serious heart problem. I should know. I had nagging chest pain, and then I failed a stress test, and it opened my eyes to the fact that I needed help. Thanks to the good people at Northside Medical Center, I'm still here to tell you about it. So here's your wake-up call. Know the signs of a heart attack, including shortness of breath, nausea, dizziness, chest pain, arm or jaw pain, and cold sweat. If you experience any of those, call 911. And even if you don't experience those symptoms, find out if you're at high risk. Take a free heart risk assessment at vcheart.net, a service of Northside Medical Center, a certified chest pain center.
Hi, I'm Joan London. And if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone,
you 1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And it's 33 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 18th of July, 2014. And today's Friday. It's open mic. You know, we'll go where you want to go. We got a special call today from, I don't know from who.
From the Obama administration.
No, because we didn't listen to enough for them to tell us where it came from. And I have a problem with that because they kept on telling me to hang up and take my phone my number off the list, but they didn't tell me who was calling me.
No.
And that is, I gotta check. I think that's in violation.
Could be.
Because, you know, disclosure is supposed to be on everything. And for them to have it that long, they know that people are going to hang up before the end.
Mm.
And you don't know actually who's listening, and we would have to listen until who knows when to get that.
Well, to get all that propaganda, it's going to take a while.
And today, right now, I'm doing a Luther Day, you know. So those of you who don't know who Luther Vandross is, look it up on the internet.
Is that Cheryl Lynn? No, it wasn't.
That's not just a model.
Yeah, no.
That's a whole other issue. Don't go there, Jeff, because I
that doesn't look like a girl.
You never know. It was Lulu.
I know Lulu.
Don't mess with the dad.
That's my cat, man. I miss Luther singing now.
Don't mess with Lulu. Don't mess with Lulu. Lulu would be on a whole new role right now.
Man. Yeah, he would, wouldn't he?
Lulu would be on a whole new role right now. He told En Vogue there was only one diva on this tour.
That's what she thought. That's what he told him.
He said there's only one diva on this tour. Get that straight right now.
One of my good friends told me he met Luther out there in Hollywood, in Beverly Hills, excuse me, and he said he was just so that way that it said it just made him sick, and he was sorry he met him.
As a matter of fact, he was very, very
Luther was
gay, and he was very, very effeminate.
He said he was over effeminate.
He was very, very. Even as a big man, he was just as effeminate, if not more, than Magic Johnson's son.
Oh my God!
Because Magic Johnson's son is a flame.
Oh my God!
And South Carolina and Diva and Eric, your mics are on, and it was very and then all because before you know, you didn't know, and then you would think he would be talking to you, and he talking to you, he talking to somebody else.
Oh. Yeah, I had no clue. I had no clue Luther was gay until he lost all that weight. And then he lost all that weight, and he started to change in the public when he'd do interviews. And I was like, wait a minute, I wonder if he's gay. And then I was like, wait a minute, I ain't never seen this dude with no woman. But he speaks to women. Never heard about that figure. And then, you know, when he died, that's when everybody was like, yeah, Luther was gay.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. No, I mean, it
was common knowledge.
It was real common knowledge.
But it wasn't. It was common knowledge for those that knew, because people didn't know James Cleveland was gay. To this day, that's a whole other issue, a whole other day. But
you know what?
Saying.
That is just ridiculous.
I'm just saying people didn't know.
And,
you know, I'm gonna stop right there.
Yeah.
We ain't going no further. Okay, climate change.
Back to climate
EPA.
Change.
South Carolina, why did you have that woman call us? Is there anything that you want us to learn there?
No, I don't know why she called. That's I don't know.
I was shocked. I thought that was a commercial, a PSA or something you were playing.
So I really worried you might be proselyting. Going over to the other side, you know.
And I was trying to tell you before she rudely interrupted us with her propaganda, wanting us to get her message out. That was a major conversation. We didn't even interrupt her.
Yeah, I was waiting for her to start talking about government programs.
Well, she did. She did. She was on the EPA. That's a government program.
No, that's a government religion.
Religion, and it's killing business. Killing it. You hear me?
It's killing more than just business, Jeff. It's killing because as the EPA overregulates, do you realize how many suburban or rural areas here we have that they cannot, but they have establishments there, but they cannot open them or transfer them or transact business there because of the EPA and their guidelines now?
Right. That's what I said. It's killing ability for people to be able to reach into this economy and make a job. But do you know what's coming? And I'm taking this to the end game, okay? CO2, the hugest polluters of CO2 is people.
Well, you should not have flagellants.
Well, that's not, no, it's not, that's not CO2.
Oxygen?
You breathe out CO2 every
right.
time you exhale. So people are the number one CO2 polluters in the world.
Well, then,
they're trying to get you to cull your calf herds now because of CO2 and climate change.
So why don't
you
quit breathing?
That's
light
what
now.
They're going to do.
Jeff, light now. Who's
Listen,
off?
That's what they're going to do. Georgia Guidestones, remember?
No.
535 million people only?
No.
That's what they want?
No.
What do you mean, no?
I'm just sitting back and learning because this is...
I'm going to try to picture. I'm going to go try to take a picture of the Georgia Guidestones when I'm down there. I'm trying my best to because it's right outside of Atlanta.
Okay.
Alabama's not on yet, so
not
yet.
Good morning, Eric. What's going on with you? How are you this morning? That's why it's quiet. Hey, good morning, Stanley.
Good morning, Tracy. Go ahead, Eric.
I'm sorry. I was just saying, took the dog for a walk. You know, where she walked me actually, and practicing learning the Russian national anthem in Spanish.
You. You practicing?
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. You got it all under under control. But you got it practice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, watching my old WWF with Nikolai Volkoff singing before the wrestling matches, so I'll be good.
Okay. You know what? Now you know you're kind of. I saw a picture of you on Facebook because we've not met, and you're kind of a big guy. How you letting that little dog walk you?
Oh, she's strong.
You know you're supposed you're a big guy. I bet you look funny walking down the street with that little dog.
Oh yeah, Jack Russell got some strong dogs. They're determined little.
I know.
Bird.
I got one. She's crazy.
You call it a Jack Russell terrorist.
Yeah.
Not a terrier, it's a terrorist. Oh man, I want a dog so bad, but I got to get my garage cleaned out first because he can't stay in the house.
You don't need a dog.
Oh yes, I do. I want a dog. I want a real dog. I don't want a. I
well,
don't
why
want
you want a
dog
in the garage?
Because I don't let dogs in my house.
And
like
you don't
that.
Need a dog.
Yeah.
You don't need a dog.
They'll come in every now and then.
No, you don't need a dog.
But they'll stay in the washroom.
No,
they don't get in the rest of the house.
We can't even have a dog because we've never been able to have a dog that can stay in our yard because every time we've had a dog, it has always found its way next door or across the street. And we have neighbors who don't like it when our dog would get in their yard. So the sheriff would get called. So we are
that's
cat people.
Bad
in my house.
Parenting.
Oh God! Electric fence.
That's called
I can't
bad parenting.
Parenting? I mean,
that's bad parenting, AJ.
What's that?
If you let your dog get out, you got to train that sucker.
Yeah, we were a beagle kind of house, so beagles were harder to train, but we tried.
I mean, Eric will tell you, Jack Russells are almost impossible to train because when they put their mind on. on getting out and or going somewhere. My dog slipped past me, I want to say the day before yesterday, I was bringing groceries in. She slipped past me because there's this huge, big, not pit bull, but what's the other one, Rockwaller.
Okay.
And he is absolutely gorgeous, and he his owner walks him every day, and my dog loves this dog. Now, my dog is only 15 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Bruiser is huge.
It would eat her.
And my dog is going down the street, and she's not on her leash or anything. She jetted past me and was gone. You can see me running down the street trying to chase this dog before she gets to this dog. And then she's going to ease back. He has his dog because he's on a leash. And my dog got her hair raised like she ear it and rumble. I'm like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Our
does
cats
it all
don't
the time,
take any
Tracy.
Crap from any animal. I will say that.
Yeah, mine does it all the time. I don't care if it's a pit bull, Rottweiler, Doberman. She don't care.
They all hurt. They think they're 150 pounds. They think they're the baddest dog on the street.
What were they bred for?
Tunneling out rodents.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
They flush them out, actually. They flush them out in the open so you can take them out. That's what they're trained to do.
They're good at it. Jack Russell?
I've had three Jack Russells, and they've all been very hyper. Now here's one thing, though, Tracy. They're very, very playful.
Yeah.
They like to nibble at your toes and everything. You got to train them. You got to let them know who the alpha dog is, you know? Mine bit me, and I bit him back. Never had a problem with it biting me again.
South Carolina, you could go bite a bear, and they would not bite you. They would not mess with you no more. I've seen a picture of you, too. You ain't messing with Rama. You know, dogs are smart. They smart dogs.
Yeah, we were just dogs are not
amazing.
Smartest dogs. And that's what we were always – that's the kind of dog we always got was a beagle. And they're not smart. And so it was always hard
to
train a beagle. They're so
what kind of dog are you going to get, Jeff, that you're going to put in the garage?
Well, see, I had – my last dog was a collie shepherd. And my dog would never – you know, it ran free because he couldn't keep him tied up to nothing. I had a big, heavy link chain on him. He pulled the stake out the ground that he was tied to. I put him inside of a pen. He dug up under the pen and got out.
That's because you're trying to lock the dog down.
Listen, he got out enough, but it wasn't enough, you know.
You're putting the dog on lockdown.
So I left the dog run free, okay? So now the dog was nice. He stayed in the yard except for the mailman.
That's a cute dog, a collie shepherd he's talking about. I didn't know what they looked like.
Whatever, somebody must have done something to him in a previous life or something. Because he would not let the mailman come down the street. Okay, so we didn't get mail sometimes for a couple of days till I had him locked in and put him in the basement. But 2 o'clock in the morning, nobody came home after 2 o'clock. You weren't allowed to come home, including me.
Put your fucking mic down, Jeff.
He'd meet my car two blocks from
house. Curfew.
And he's just,
respect the house.
And I'd open the window and I'd holler at him. I said, man, you better sit down.
Respect the house.
And he'd look for a second.
He knew nothing was going on right after 2 o'clock.
He said, nothing good is going on after 12 o'clock at night.
My aunt and uncle,
and they're even, their
dogs,
they're not
like, it's their own child. Like,
it's my dog.
It's the sit down. Lay down. And
absolutely.
Then it was the snapping and then the pointing.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. It's like,
I can't control is her running.
And they're not stupid.
When she gets her mind,
I mean, my dog,
what'd you say, Eric?
My dog, she's not stupid. If she don't want me to go nowhere, she'll hide in my car keys. And I'm serious. She will take
all
my
these dogs
keys and hide it under a pillow.
All these dogs have to go because they breathe out too much CO2.
You like this story. We had a black lab. I think it was a lab. Stray, a huge dog, came and lived with us. For about a week, like all of a sudden there was this black lab in our backyard, and it walked in the house, and obviously it had to belong to someone else before, and she was a beautiful dog, and but the thing was, we're like, okay, we don't have a dog right now, you know, what the heck? So we tried taking care of this dog, but the problem with this dog was every single time we left the house, it would get mad at us and leave. Because it would be inside sometimes, but, you know, it's a stray, we weren't sure, so we would keep it outside. We would put it outside when we would leave. And the dog would get mad and leave when we would leave. But then when we would get home a couple hours later, we'd be like, where's the dog? It would eventually come back.
Doggone.
And then eventually, I think we went away for a weekend, me and the fam. And when we came back that Monday, the dog was gone. And we're like, okay, you know, give it a couple hours, but the dog never came back.
Somebody came and got that
dog.
Right,
professional frame shop and art gallery at the March Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the March Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment. The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
We're having a baby, so we gotta find a house.
Using Realtor.com put the process in my hands. Realtor.com is the most accurate home search site.
Accuracy matters.
The Realtor shows me things I wouldn't normally find on my own.
We worked with a Realtor who he knew the area.
A Realtor made sure that we were the first ones at the door when a new house came onto the market.
There's no way I could have gotten through this process without him.
Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make homes happen. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Mark Levin.
I think the American people are starving for a leader. That is somebody who doesn't want to fundamentally transform America, but somebody who wants to save the Republic. That's what we're talking about.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm in studio with both Jeff and AJ. And it's Friday. It's open mic. I got problems going on with the television. It keeps on going out. It just doesn't like me today. Jeez, oh man. It's open mic. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 51 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on Friday.
Beautiful day.
Yeah, it really, really is.
Gorgeous. It's supposed to be hot this weekend, though.
I'm looking forward to that. I need some hot days.
But it's going to be humid. That's different. I don't like humid weather.
What's wrong with humid?
Humid just is like, ugh. You step out and you feel like a dog's breathing on you. Back to the dogs. You feel like a dog's just breathing on you. Ugh. I like it when it's just it's warm out, but there's a nice breeze coming in. Oh yeah, that's the that's why my favorite season is fall. I love fall.
No, fall. I like fall. I love to see the foliage, but
I like the temperature at the time. That's my favorite. That's a perfect temperature right there.
It has its moments.
Not for me.
It has moments.
I can't stand anything cold.
Before we know it's going to be winter.
Okay, can you stop now? Can we stop now?
I'm just saying.
It's still July. I think people are celebrating Christmas in July right now.
Right.
Stop now. You're done.
You see this?
You're done.
This is what I want to wear all year round. That's it.
I got a new caller calling in. Hey, how are you, Lou? Good morning.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Where are you calling from? I'm well.
From my bedroom.
Oh, well, that's nice.
All right.
Well, I think you got the wrong channel. Thanks for calling in. Okay.
He said
he was calling from his bedroom.
Oh.
So I hung up on him. Because I'm really not trying to talk to people in their bedroom and knowing it up front. Because being that it's coming in on Skype and it's going in from Blog Talk, you never know what you're going to get. I'm really not in the mood today.
What
do you guys think about this plane that got shot down yesterday?
Oh my goodness, I'm so confused. I'm just a young.
Why are you confused?
I'm hearing so many things about this Malaysian plane. When I first heard Malaysian plane shot down.
Slow down, JJ. Slow down.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm stressed.
Why are you stressed?
Because this is something right here, this Malaysian plane.
What's so...
It was funny. Tracy, it was funny. Yesterday, this happened during the show yesterday, and I was outside the garage talking to you guys, and I came in, turned the TV on, and it said Malaysian plane. I figured the plane was missing all these months at first. I was like, Russia shot that plane
down. Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. I thought the same thing, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And then my mom had said, no, it's not that one. And I was like, oh, my goodness, you know, what's going on? And then I heard that there were possible Americans on there. And then, you know, I think I'm more concerned about this than the president is. Because then I watched the president's speech, and he's like, this is possibly a tragedy. This is possibly a tragedy. And I was like, this is definitely a tragedy. You know, you have, what, 23 Americans? What, did they say 23?
Hold on, Diva. One at a time, guys. When three hundred people die, it's a tragedy. It's definitely a tragedy.
Not possibly a tragedy.
No matter how many people die, if it's one, it's still a tragedy for somebody. And sympathy does not go possibly. There's no possibility of a possible tragedy.
And I was like, oh my goodness, this is terrible. And then the president still continued to go to his fundraisers, and he still continued to do all the fun things that he's doing right now. And so I had came to the conclusion that I feel like the president has just given up.
Given up on what?
Given up what?
Just kind of was just like, you know what? And he had said in that speech, I don't know which speech it was. I'd have to look it up. But he had said, I don't have to run again. And he was, do you remember that speech where he was talking to, I don't even remember who.
You can't go that far. I have no idea what you're talking about.
This was not that long ago.
I still don't remember what you're talking about.
He had said, what does it matter to me? I don't have to run again. I'm done after this term.
I missed that one.
I remember.
Do you know what I'm talking about? So that's why I feel like when he said, well, this is possibly a tragedy, you know, we're doing whatever we can. And then that was it. That's all he talked about. And I was just like, I feel like the president has given up.
When he has no teleprompter, you see the real Obama.
I mean, I just wonder how AJ felt when President Wynn, those planes flew into the World Trade Center, President Bush was told, and he still sat there continuing to read. You know, even with Katrina happened, he still continued to do what he did. That's what presidents do. They are not supposed to just break down like average humans do. They're not supposed to. They still have a country to run. So what do you?
I'm not saying
one at a time, guys. One at a time.
You totally missed the point of what he was saying. It wasn't about that Bush was sitting in a situation with a bunch of little kids around him that he did not want to startle and traumatize. So therefore, he calmly did what he did, got out the room, and went on about his business. They had to get their directions anyway. He knows what the protocol is. They don't just run outside and jump in the plane. You have to make sure that the road is clear to the plane if your country is under attack. So Mr. Bush, President Bush, exhibiting true leadership did what he did. This is a bunch of BS because first
well,
of all,
whatever.
You don't. Fundraisers are off the table at that point.
Right.
And I wasn't. I didn't say that. I wasn't expecting President Obama to break down and fall into a crying state. I was just saying I felt like just the vibe I got from it wasn't that he wasn't that concerned.
He wasn't
about
concerned
it.
At all about it.
Yeah.
And that's because he knows what it was. First of all, he's a terrible hider of things. He can't act.
He doesn't hide his emotion.
Mm-hmm. Well, he doesn't have any.
Or lack of.
He's a sociopath. He doesn't have emotion.
Well, now
you
guys know how a lot of people felt when Katrina happened, and we felt Bush lacked compassion.
No, you did.
No, wait, hold on. How did we not react properly with Katrina?
Well, we also felt like he just gave up. He didn't do. Yeah, sure. He went down and said, "Good
and you
job."
Gave,
oh,
you gave Megan a pass
and then
too.
Hold on, wait a minute. Let me finish. Yeah, sure. He went down and he did a flyover. Good job, Brownie. But we just felt like there was just no compassion. Whether that's a misconception or not, that's
my
just
God.
How he felt. So all I'm saying,
Diva,
now
Did history? Did history not show that Ray Nagin. Ray Nagin, the mayor, actually was a lot to at fault of what was going on there in New Orleans.
Kathleen Blank.
Diva, answer the question. Did they not prove, and did it not show from the time that he did not evacuate the city, where he misappropriated funds, where he did not take care of the levy, all the way up to how the deployment as well as how FEMA was brought in? Because remember, the federal government cannot come into a state unless they are invited by the governor, and the governor cannot come into a city unless he is invited by the mayor or the elected officials there in the city.
That has no bearing on what I said. What I said was whether the feelings were a misconception about Bush or not, that's still how people felt. And I'm just speaking on how AJ said he felt. And I said, well, now you know how people felt when the trend happened.
No. Vladimir Putin is the one who told him, Diva. He was told by Vladimir Putin that the plane was shot down.
You guys cannot get a simple. You guys can't understand a simple commentary. Really? You can't understand a simple commentary. All I said was, and when somebody puts a disclaimer of misconception, it means, look, these feelings may not be real, may not be true. But yet you still got it. You still want to make an argument of it. All I said was, now you know how those people felt about Bush. How you guys feel about Obama is how
it's the way it's the way that
Bush.
We felt about George Bush. Exactly.
That's all I'm. That's simply all I'm saying.
And
okay.
I agree with you 100%, Diva. The way you feel about Obama is the way we feel about George Bush, and we've been yelling at you.
That's fair enough. So. So let's say a prayer for those people that are dead. Can we at least agree on that?
Yeah, we can agree on that. I have no problem on that. But acting like he's like what is it? He's like he has
he
no social skill.
Care.
He's
He's a sociopath.
I'm like, really? President Obama is a sociopath. Oh, okay.
I'm like, really? He has no clue what a sociopath is if you call President Obama a sociopath.
Hey, look at the source of that. Who's the source of that? Jeff
yeah.
is garbage, right? Jeff is garbage.
I'm like, sociopath? I'm like, really? Wow. You don't agree with his way of seeing things, but sociopath?
I don't think so. I'm sorry. If you actually look up the definition of sociopath, you actually study psychology 101, you take these psychology courses, you'll see the guy is not a sociopath. You just disagree with how he goes about running the country, which I don't have a problem with. Because, I can't expect conservatives to, like, a liberal, democratic administration. That would defeat the purpose of why you vote for the opposite. But all this arguing
you know
and
what, this is 3-on-1. I'm not going there.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah.
Usually it's me getting to that.
So I don't understand.
I mean, I get it, but I don't like the disingenuousness. I don't like the lies. Look, just say you don't like the guy because of his policies. You're blaming everything on him because he's a Democrat. He's a liberal. That's just be honest. Don't say his policies are going to ruin the world because, or ruin America, because we've been hearing that on both sides. And George Bush didn't ruin America. I mean, he may have had some bad policies that put us on the brink. But not one person is going to ruin the world. Not one person bring about Armageddon. So all of this disingenuousness, and I have arguments with liberals too about stuff. Because this fighting and being partisan, this being disingenuous, I'm real. Yes, I'm a Democrat. Yes, I like Democratic policy. I like the left of the policy. And I will stand up and tell you that's the reason why I will not vote Republican, because I don't like their policies. I don't go along with them. So let's just keep it real and honest, folks. Kept it nice and light and fluffy with the dogs, and I was in a DMV to get my disability placard, so I couldn't talk. And then I come out, finally get to talk, and y'all going to this. I'm like, oh, my God. Poor AJ. We got a lot to learn.
What chapter is it from the KKK is AJ from?
Christina, man. Come on, not every white person who is not knowledgeable on African-American culture is part of the KKK. I would say AJ is he's just very young. He's 16, 17, so he's very easily influenced.
Yeah, he's a kid. AJ's a kid, man.
He's just ignorant, lacking knowledge. But I wouldn't say he's going to high school too. He's just lacking knowledge.
Well, you don't know that high school people are racist too? Are you guys not?
I just don't.
Not acknowledging that.
But you will put that label on somebody very quickly if you don't know them. I don't know him. We never know him to label him that.
He's a 16-year-old kid.
So the only thing I can say right now
that gives him no excuse in my book. I give nobody any slack on being a racist in my book. That might be your game. My game ain't like that.
What is a racist, man? What is your definition of a
racist?
White folks.
What's your definition of a racist, man?
Also, white people. All white folks are racist.
Not all of them, but that's my definition.
I mean, the man that cooked your food last time you ate out may have been a racist, but you don't know. I mean, what do you? I mean, the dude that assembled your car might be racist, but you don't know that.
Man, you have a lot to offer, especially when it comes to black empowerment, black nationalism. But in order for someone to take you serious, you have to come better than that.
I'm serious. Yeah, D was right, man. D was absolutely right, man. You got to
represent
us
way better than just
looking,
saying a 16, 17-year-old is a racist.
I'm not looking to convert. I'm not looking to convert anybody. If you don't know, you don't need to know.
But it's not even about conversion. It's about how you expect all people to take them seriously when we know for a fact that you can't. I'm intelligent enough to know that you can't just label someone a racist just because they're white and just because they don't like Obama. So how do you expect
you could easily be labeled as a racist yourself. I mean, people could easily call you a racist, man.
Yeah, I can give
you. You would argue like that.
I can give 2 cents about that. I would expect that the racist.
That's my point, Kavita, man. They don't care what you think. They don't care if you think they're racist. They live in their life, man. They don't care what you think.
All I'm saying is you have to care, because in order for you to make change, in order for you to change the mindset or make change in the black community, which it seems like you want to do, you have to be better. You do. You really do. You're too smart and too intelligent and too intuitive.
When they get their nigga moment, they'll understand. Until then, they can live
in
blindness. They can live in blindness all they want to. The white folks.
You have seen the light, huh?
You do know it was white folks the reason why slavery started to become abolished. It was the white folks who tried to get rid of Jim Crow. It was the white folks who started NAACP. It was the white folks that started to empower us because we were too submissive and subservient to try to do it ourselves.
Yeah. That's the opinion. Black folks are just so woeful. They can't do that. They're so ignorant and weak.
That's
your opinion of us.
That's
your opinion of us. That's fine. That's your opinion of us.
It's the white person who sells slaves. You better than me.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Everybody, please have a seat. Please have a seat. It is wonderful to be back in Delaware. Before I begin, obviously the world is watching reports of a downed passenger jet near the Russia-Ukraine border. And it looks like it may be a terrible tragedy. Right now we're working to determine whether there were American citizens on board. That is our first priority. And I've directed my national security team to stay in close contact with the Ukrainian government. The United States will offer any assistance we can to help determine what happened and why. And as a country, our thoughts and prayers are with all the families of the passengers wherever they call home. I want to thank Jeremy for that introduction. Give Jeremy a big round of applause.
Our way of life, our very freedom, came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. The victims were in airplanes or in their offices, secretaries, businessmen and women, military and federal workers, moms and dads, friends and neighbors.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today, and it was brought up the response of President Obama's I don't have any fault with how he handled it. I mean, he's not the same man as the people in the past. I don't know what intel they'd given him by then. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he had known it was shot down, because the issue really is it was shot down inside of a war zone that Malaysia was flying through at the time.
Mm-hmm. Can I say this?
You can say what you want to say.
Did you hear the words that he used?
Don't get me wrong.
I said it before the break.
That was not the words that I would want to hear, and or the words that I think was best. But I'm not going to be that critical. He is who he is. Teleprompter was not up, but we know that he doesn't do well on the fly.
It may be a tragedy.
Again.
This might be a tragedy.
It may be a tragedy. He's not sympathetic.
No, he's not at all, because like I said before, this man is a sociopath.
I'm not going to call him a sociopath.
I am.
He can be who you want him to be. Me personally, I'm not going to call him a sociopath.
I wouldn't either.
I'm just going to call him a person that I don't think is the best leader in the world.
Hey, Tracy.
You know, he can be who he is. You can call him a sociopath if you want to. You know, that's your business. But I just wanted you to know, Tracy is not calling him a sociopath.
AJ doesn't know what a sociopath is because of what he just said.
What?
I said I wouldn't call him that either.
Why?
That's a little extreme, wouldn't you think? Mm-mm. Calling him a sociopath?
No. Well, do you know what a sociopath is?
Yeah.
What?
Isn't a sociopath someone who isn't bothered by anything, doesn't give a care of the world.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that either.
He just may not care the way that I care about certain things, because he has things that he cares about that he deals with, and I'm not going to say that he is a non-caring person. He just has a different way of caring that I just don't agree with.
Hey, Tracy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of people to blame for this. You have to blame the Ukraine National Air Traffic Control. They knew they were flying through a war zone. Not only that, there should have been some awareness that, like, it should be a good idea to do that. Let's kind of steer around that.
They've been flying that route, though, Doc. This wasn't new.
Pardon me?
But this wasn't a new route. They've been flying that route.
Yeah, but they shot a plane down a few days ago, didn't they?
They shot a cargo jet down a few days ago.
Were they flying over a war zone is my question. Were they?
Yes.
Okay, well, in 1988, under Reagan, we had shot down a commercial airline that was flying over, was it Iran? And
It wasn't over Iran. It was over the ocean that I can't remember where now.
I read that it was over a war zone in 1988, the commercial flight that we had shot down. My thing is, and that's the point I'm trying to make here, is I think you're asking for trouble flying over the war zone.
You would have thought.
Why do we allow planes to do that?
Well, it's not that allow. Remember, this is a Malaysia, so we don't have any say.
Okay.
They should have reassigned and or done something else with that route. That's something different.
And the captain has the authority to do that. The captain has the authority to do that.
He does.
And so does the Malaysian airline.
Really?
Oh yeah. So they can change their flight pattern. The question is, we don't know why they did not. But nevertheless, that should have been done.
Uh-huh.
The response of the president, you know, I wouldn't want him to speak at my funeral.
Me either.
But
I think if there, it does matter if people are dying on an airplane, and if there's Americans on there, that's when it's a big deal to us. And here's why I could see President Obama giving that kind of speech if there weren't Americans on that flight. But there was possibility that there were Americans, and there were. And he still kind of gave the speech that I would give if there weren't Americans on that flight.
Let me say this. Even if there were not Americans on there, loss of life is loss of life.
Oh, definitely.
And if you listen to Putin's response, and Putin did his response, it was really amazing. Putin's response was a whole lot more empathetic than President Obama's response.
I didn't hear
Putin's
response.
That's a sociopath right there.
I'm not a sociopath.
You would call Obama a sociopath, but you would not call Putin a sociopath.
Dina, you need to talk into your mic.
Yeah, you're,
I don't know what you're doing with your microphone.
She's on speakerphone. It's not working.
I'm driving. But I'm really mad that Kavita may have me sounding like South Carolina during the break.
I still can't hear you. That's not going to help me out any. Kavita Man, your mic is on.
I said that I'm really mad that Kavita Man had me sounding like South Carolina during the break.
What does that have to do with the Price of Rice?
I just, and as far as this Malaysia, I'm sorry, I just cannot focus on this Malaysian flight thing for the simple fact my daughter is on a flight from Nashville to Chicago by herself, so to me, none of that really matters at this point.
Well, yeah, that's, yeah.
Well, here you go.
I've never even been on an airplane,
your
and that scares me.
Your daughter is not flying over a war
right.
zone.
Chicago's a war zone? What do you mean?
Right. So have you been to the Chicago airport? That's
yes,
a
I
war
have.
Zone. Okay,
well,
so.
I've never even been on an airplane.
It's nowhere near the city, so.
You know, kids get snatched anywhere, anytime, things happen. I barely made it out of Chicago Airport when I flew in there last year. It was so confusing. So,
well, Diva, she's
just,
smarter than a fifth grader, right?
She's smart, but
she's very, very smart. She's got it. I'm quite sure they have a concierge person with her.
No, they don't no longer offer that. No, they no longer offer that. That's what I'm very upset about. That's what I'm very ticked off about. That's why I've been stressed out because just found out they didn't offer that service anymore.
Then you ought to drive halfway.
I just saw a video.
He wouldn't meet me halfway, and I couldn't drive all that way because of my situation. So
you'll be all right. She'll be all right. You just tripping.
I just watched a video the other day about a guy.
Yeah.
I really enjoy. He was talking about how he felt like humans were not meant to fly, and he said if God was looking down at us right now, he'd say, "What are you doing? You were not meant to be in the air."
I totally disagree.
I've never been on an airplane.
Pull his mic down, son.
No, the way planes are designed, believe me, they want to stay in the air. That's just the design of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're designed for the air, and I would fly anywhere. So, if I can fly. In the front, life is always good. Good morning, Alabama. How are you?
What happened? Kavina Man, excuse
What's
me.
What's going on?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Hold on, Alabama. Go ahead, Kavina Man.
Yeah, when you guys started the when I tuned in, you guys were talking about the climate change thing, and I think that what it like the way that debates are usually ran, they usually have one person on one side and the other person on the other, and they sit there and they argue over the facts. But it's like the proportion of scientists that are against, or I would say agree with, the idea of climate change, and those that don't are very skewed. It's like 97-3. It's just as if you had a show in which you had two black people debating, and you had a black conservative and a black liberal. That's not the dichotomy in which people are divided. That scientists might have a few scientists that disagree, like three out of 100, or with black folks you might have, you know, five out of 2,000 that believe in black conservatism. That was my point.
Okay. Good morning, Alabama.
Yeah, I really didn't want to call and get into directly into some mess like that when he just made a comment like that, but
that's why I just kept on going.
That's what I'm saying, because I mean it's been emails released with these people trying to force through global, they forcing it through, like they stuffing it down people's throats, and they going
that's,
to Africa.
You missed the phone. You missed the phone call. You missed the phone call we got a little bit early when we first started the show. There was a robocall that came in. And the robocall came in with a lot of propaganda that was very, very skewed, very, very off balance, and very, very off.
I mean, but they changed the shells right in front of people's faces, because the shell 4, 5, 6 years ago was global warming. Then they changed the name. It's just like the Affordable Care Act, Affordable Health Care Act, changed to affordable because the initials was AHA, which is aha, I got you. So that's what it is. I'm just saying. Then they changed it because they figured that out. But, I mean, anyway, the point I was trying to make, I was actually calling because I wanted you to listen to that
I heard, I posted on your
Facebook.
I'll probably do it on Monday because I didn't get a chance to listen to it over the week.
I start work Monday.
I start work Monday. It's about time you go to work. You ain't been working.
I done had me a good little vacation. I've been chilling, going to the gym, working out, you know, just doing me. So I'm comfortable.
I know.
I finally start work this time.
If I get a chance before the end of the break, before the end of the day, I will play it, I promise, okay?
Yeah, play it when you come back from the next break. You'll like it.
No, I got something else. I got to play my ABCs when I come back.
We got lots of stuff going on.
I got to play my ABCs when I come back. I'll try to get it in. You just sit back and chill. I think you'll enjoy it. Good morning, 267.
Yeah, I just wanted to say the greenhouse effect and like different types of carbon emissions, it's been proven that these things do exist. You do have a slight warming of the Earth's atmosphere. And the reason why and there's certain countries where they're starting to see the ocean levels rise and you're starting to get different types of erosion of the beaches and the land that surrounds the country, especially when you're dealing with very small countries that happen to be island nations. So you do have a rising of the sea levels and you do have extra carbon that happens to be like in the atmosphere. So these things have been proven by scientists. That these things
once
are occurring,
again,
so it's not like
again,
it's all false information that they're. It's not all false information that they happen to be putting out into the public.
But climate change has been going on for and it has since the beginning of time and will continue to the end of time.
Right.
It's always been evolving. It's always been changing. It's always been moving. That's nothing new. Now we need to be more responsible with our carbon as well as with our trash and our plastic and a lot of things that don't disintegrate. But climate change
it's always been changing. It's not that serious. It's just not that serious.
Well, the only people that disagree with it is American conservatism. The rest of the world is on board. It's not even close.
No, they're not.
It's not even close.
No, they're not. And that just shows you that they have got you going. Does China believe in it?
Well, the reason why China doesn't believe in it is because China...
The rest of the world.
Whoa, one at a time. Let Jeff speak.
Does China believe in it?
If they do, they don't
care. The whole rest of the world, Jeff. Just
why don't they put some scrubbers on their smokestacks then? Why did they have to shut the freaking city down during the World Games, Olympics, because of the smog in the cities? If they believe in global warming and climate change, they have the statistics in. There's been no warming, and the polar ice caps are changing where they're freezing at, but they're not losing no density in the ice at all. That's why those idiots got caught down south in the South Pole trying to go and investigate some things down there in the South Pole and got their icebreaker stuck in the ice. See,
I cannot hear both of you at the same time. I cannot understand what you're saying either.
Let me make my last statement. Many people believe that the globe had warmed up for a certain period of time, but they are not all saying and agreeing that it is because of man. That's the difference. So you got about 92% that said, yeah, we had some significant warming since the 30s to now.
Kobe and the man, what are you saying?
Yeah. Well,
hold on, John.
Yeah, just real quick.
What are you saying?
Just real quick. I'm gonna wrap it up with this. Jeff, you're only talking to your people. The rest of the world says you're garbage. That's all I got.
All right. Kobe and the man, I don't need that. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, what I want to say is, like, when they had the polar vortex happen last year where they had the very cold air to come over the U.S., what had happened was the polar ice caps had melted, and all of that air from Canada was starting to drift over over into this country. So what they are starting to see is those ice caps starting to melt. You have countries that are off the coast of India that are island nations. They're starting to see the erosion of their beaches because, like I said before, like in terms of the levels of the oceans are starting to rise. So these are facts at this point that you can't dispute. These things are happening, and we are starting to see the overall temperatures across the globe start to rise, but it's not going to be a rapid process. It's going to take a very long period of time, but in terms of the intensity of storms that result as a result of the rise of the oceans and a rise in the overall temperatures, the storms that are going to result because of that are going to be much more intense in nature.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Over time.
31,000 scientists.
Hold on, John.
31,000 scientists have signed on to a petition saying that there is no convincing scientific evidence that the human release of carbon dioxide will in the foreseeable future cause catastrophic heating of the Earth's atmosphere. That's a petition. So you do have some, and you have 12,000 of the other that are saying it absolutely is because of man-made carbon release. My point is this. Not across the world. You have the United States. You have the European people agreeing to put this stuff together because they're going to control the world through their ability to sell and buy carbon. They will make trillions and trillions of dollars.
I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of
Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, basically, last year when you had the whole phenomenon with the polar vortex happen, where you basically had the air from Canada.
We heard what you said before.
Start
the problem
over the U.S. That particular phenomenon happened to be a part of the process of global warming. And
Philly,
most
Philly,
of the consensus
Philly.
Among
Philly,
most
hold on,
atmospheric
Philly,
scientists
you
is that you do have a warming of the global atmosphere that's currently occurring. Most scientists happen to be in consensus now that that is happening. And you
well,
have
you do know that the UN had emails where these people were trying to force this through and make people because they wanted to make the science mean what they wanted to say. This is not science, and when you can always find something to back what you're saying. It's where you choose to get your information.
Sir,
right,
but I happen to disagree.
So
I happen to disagree, and I do believe that it is science, and also it's not just carbon that's being released in the atmosphere. You have other things like benzene, and you have other things like different compounds that have like different elements like nitrogen that's being released into the atmosphere as well that's starting to contribute to a greenhouse effect that is causing the atmosphere to heat up.
I'm not understanding. The argument isn't even a whether climate change is real, because I'm sorry, you just see that climate change is real. So the real argument is what's causing it.
And the only thing I'm saying is that in terms of the pollution, it's not just carbon. You have you also have benzene that's in the atmosphere, and you have compounds that have nitrogen in them that is starting to affect the atmosphere as a whole across the whole world. You know, basically,
if I was a billionaire and I wanted to kill a lot of people, get rid of a lot of people on this planet, this is tailor-made. That's all I'm saying. I mean, just think about what you're saying.
Well,
because
the Earth's
like
atmosphere,
has
a layer that's called the ozone layer. That's the
O3
layer.
You've been talking the whole break. I'm just trying to make a point. I'm just trying to tell you Obama went over to Africa and told the people.
But also at the same time, I'm trying to explain to you that what you need to do is recheck your facts in terms of atmospheric science. Most people have a consensus to the fact that the atmospheric science points to that the atmospheric science points to the fact that there is some type of global warming occurring across the Earth.
Go ahead. This ain't a conversation. This
hey,
is
Alabama. Hey, Alabama, now you know how we feel, man, when you go down your road. That's how we feel.
But this is the problem, though. This is the point I was trying to make was Obama went to Africa and told those folks that they cannot get industrialized because of the effects on the environment. This is a tool. You always talking about white supremacy, but when somebody say something like, wait a minute, be careful and look at this from another way, then it's, no, you buy right into it. That's what they're using this for. What do you think these people over in Africa telling them folks, hey, you can't do this? Obama did say that in a speech.
The main reason why a lot of the African countries weren't colonized is because they weren't allowed to be a part of the IMF. They weren't allowed to get the loan out of the International Monetary Fund. That's the reason why a lot of the African countries aren't.
Alabama, do you not believe that climate change is real?
I believe that the temperatures are changing, but why sunspots and all that different stuff, we're not really doing. When you talk about science, you won't come to something and try to prove your point. You just go and accept the facts as they are. They just come and just try to prove something.
That's
and
not me. I'm somebody
it.
Who actually looks
okay,
at the atmospheric science online on the Internet.
Who hasn't?
And the total proof.
It's been going on for 20 years.
What I'm saying to you is
politics,
the total proof cannot be refuted
change.
At this point. And most people who are in that field, they have a consensus of belief that these things are occurring.
Listen, man, you like a
because
rapper.
It's not
every
just carbon that's being released into the
every
atmosphere.
Every rapper thinks they're the best. They claim they're the best. You just another rapper claiming that you study. Everybody studies. Big deal.
Well, I mean,
okay,
first of all, like, I don't understand. I don't understand your point right
you
there, guy.
No,
I mean, everybody say you are authoritative on a subject. You have not, you are not authoritative. You have not done, you ain't checked everything. You ain't got in airplanes and flew all over the world to 40 different countries and checked and took studies.
I don't think he's trying to say he's authoritative.
But neither have you checked everything either. Neither have you.
But what I'm saying to you is the information that I have checked, and what I do know is that there is a consensus among a lot of people that you do have global warming occurring across the atmosphere. Like I said, the Earth is surrounded by ozone layer that stands for O3 layer that is used to protect us from the sunlight from the sun. That layer is being eroded by carbon and nitrogen and benzene that's being released into the atmosphere.
We must remember how
that's also leading to the greenhouse effect.
Not the alphabet English
that's occurring. That's causing the polar ice caps to melt.
But the ABCs of life. What we've learned, then we should take them with us as we let our lives do the singing. We should take the A and accept the challenge. The B and believe in ourselves. The C, convert our thoughts into hopes. And the D, the determination to convert our hopes into dreams. We should E, expect some obstacles on the way up. And F, fight while being faithful and finish the course. We should G, get God on our side. And H, have a Harvey model of leadership. We should I, inspire someone else. And J, take Jesus on our journey. We should K, keep on keeping on. And L, be a leader. We should M, make every day count. And N, never give up. We must O, overcome our obstacles. And P, put our best foot forward. We must Q, quit quitting. And R, run the race with patience. We must S, strive on while T, trusting in the Lord. We should U, use our talent. And V, value our time. We should W, wait for understanding. And X, X-ray our own lifestyle. We should Y, yearn to achieve all that we seek. And Z, be zealous when reaching the top.
College. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I thought that was just a very, very inspirational way to put the ABCs, how this young man, I believe he's graduating from a college. It doesn't say who or from where, but I'm assuming it's probably one of the HBCUs across this country.
Wow.
And which HBCUs, for those of you who do not know, are historically black colleges. And so I thought it was just very, very good how he put that together. And if you take that ABC and all of that acronym that he put together and really live to it, we would be a whole lot further than we are today. And sometimes we talk about such things that are so negative here. Sometimes you need to hear a little bit of a positive slant on something. And there are some good people doing some great things out there.
Very inspiring.
Very much so. Cause, and what he said was, as Americans, not just for his classmates, but for Americans as people across the globe.
Yeah.
We really need to do that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Because right now we are leaning to – we're leaning into becoming, I keep on going back to this, victor and victim. We are dying because we are victims on the vine, and we won't stand up and be victorious, whether it be in the Ukraine, whether it, even with global warming, climate change, even with this, you can use a common sense approach because we do need to become responsible and take care of the environment that was given to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be cognizant of what we do. We just don't have to make a religion to where it is a belief system. And Americans are making it into a – we have gone too far. And they're lying to us because it is a commodity now. And any time that you can make money on something, then it becomes very disingenuous in how they actually portray it.
Okay.
And we need to understand that. Right, poverty is a commodity. So they keep people impoverished. They keep you under education is a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
They keep you there. And so as long as they keep on keeping you where they want you and keeping you ignorant to where you cannot ask questions, where you cannot think for yourself, where you cannot see beyond what they tell you, then they make money on you.
Exactly.
We need to understand
yeah.
that. Billions of dollars have been put into programming in the United States for poverty people. But if you had given them the money, they would not be impoverished anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
But if they really and they really don't care, so we made a lot of people very, very rich. A lot
yeah,
of people.
But also
very, very
at the
rich.
Same time, something has to be done in terms of the emission of carbon, and this has been a problem that's
John,
been ongoing
John,
for a very
up.
Long period of time.
John,
and
ease up.
People who are involved in energy production, they have to find a way. Hello.
I'm here, but ease up. Did you hear what I said? We understand. We don't have to go into the nuances of what we need to do because no one here can do anything about it. We need to be responsible. But we need to be responsible about a lot of stuff.
whole lot of stuff.
From, you know, from when we wake up in the morning to when we go to bed at night, what we put inside of our systems, how we eat, where we go, what we think, all that. We need
to
become responsible. And America is not responsible, nor are we accountable to ourselves, let alone anything or anyone else.
Yeah, but just in general, most people believe that the levels of pollution that's being released into the atmosphere is far too much.
There's
many different compounds which are in the atmosphere, and this all needs to be reduced.
That's why I cut you off. Most people have no belief system. Most people do what they're told to do,
right,
based upon bad information. And because they don't know any better, we go into a liberal school who doesn't give us the facts about everything.
The levels of
pollution are
entirely too high.
You still took it.
And so you see what I'm talking about, Diva, don't you?
Now, Tracy, I can get with him if he says pollution, and we have to do something to scrub the pollution. I agree with that. CO2 is not pollution.
It's not pollution, but even the carbon emissions, man-made carbon emissions, CFCs, anything that has carbon in it, we do need to be a little bit better.
CFCs are not CO2.
But what I just said is not just CO2. That's why I cut you off. Do you hear other people talking with other people when you're talking?
What I'm trying to do is enlighten you as to what some of the compounds
are. And what I'm trying to do
being...
is control when you're talking.
We're not enlightening. In fact, I'm getting much darker in this.
Does that make sense?
Actually, know what these compounds that are in the atmosphere are and what they can do to the ozone layer that surrounds our planet.
Are you not hearing what I'm trying to control a group of people talking, and you have a propensity to continue to talk straight through. You're worse than Diva. And that's bad.
I didn't think that could ever happen.
Diva's been quiet for a while now. There's no need to throw my name in there.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You
got to
give her props for that one.
I got to give her props. She's been good the last couple of days. I'm sorry, Diva, but you know it's true.
I haven't heard from Diva in so long.
But I'm just saying, we need, and what I'm saying is, the same thing that goes with what we do, we need to do in our conversation, yield to one another so that we can get it out. That's all I'm saying. And when you hear somebody talking, you know, pull back. Yeah.
We have a place called the Great, the Bonneville Salt Flats. And right around the Bonneville Salt Flats, I do believe there's the Salt Lake, the Great Salt Lake. Does that indicate that there was ocean there at one time? Or
I don't know, Joe. I would say so, but I don't know.
They found shells, and listen,
we have been moving, because we have to realize this. The outlines of the countries.
Mm-hmm.
If you really put them all together again, the
mm-hmm.
islands,
yeah.
the countries, the continents. If you put them all together, it makes one big land mass.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken,
well, that's
Sangria.
You know,
called,
and if you look
called,
at how hold on,
called,
and if you look at how the water, how the waters flow.
Mm-hmm.
You know how the salt waters flow, because they actually don't stop.
Well, what factories did that and what cars caused it to change?
Ford, General Motors, Nissan, BMW, Bavaria Motor Works.
The continents, right?
Fiat,
Mercedes-Benz.
They did it. And they did that, and so did the, don't forget, Philip Morris and Winston. They did that. And don't forget the Camel did a lot.
They did in Turkey and in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
They changed everything.
The Camel did that. Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
So all that happened. But I'm just saying, I mean, we just don't, when you look at the globe, when you look at all the waters, everything is connected. It's really kind of amazing and mind-blowing to watch how everything is once connected, is disconnected, but yet it's still connected. Even all the water and a lot of, I mean, it just flows and runs and moves.
Mm-hmm.
It's really creative.
Well, basically, at one time, you had a continental shift. The continents were together, and over time, the continents were separated because of the presence of water that appeared between land masses.
The presence of water did it, but it wasn't carbon emissions that did it, but they're saying
I'm not
that
saying
carbon
it was carbon emissions. I'm saying
talking
the continental shift.
I'm talking in general.
He can't do it.
Yeah.
Can I tag in that? It's just understanding what you can change and understanding what you can't change.
The
man thinks he's God.
Trillions of dollars are going into these carbon exchanges.
Can I say this, Jeff?
That's
you said
it.
Trillions of dollars
trillions.
Are going. Okay. So let's talk about the trillions of dollars that are going into the carbon exchanges and who is coming out with the trillions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And who's making, whose pocket? I mean, because if money goes in, money goes out. So if the money goes in, where'd the money go?
I forgot
Let me tag in, Tracy, when you finish.
Go ahead. You tag in, and then I'm going to tell you where the money's at.
Okay. I just wanted to say, I think this is one of those issues, and it should become apparent to you know everyone who discusses this issue, that people have a religious set of beliefs, let's say just on both sides, that they're regardless of all the kind of evidence that people present, they're not going to accept it because of their religious belief. And so you're just talking to a wall on each side. The right wing is talking to a wall. They're not going to disprove what the scientists listening people believe. And so you're just talking to a wall.
Covina, man, can I say this to you? Everything that comes out of my mouth is not right and left.
But see, why do the liberals have to be right on the argument? That's what I don't get.
I didn't even say right or wrong.
Covina, man, listen to what I'm saying. Every time you speak, you act like everything is not right and left and conservative and liberal and Republican and Democrat. Some things are just common sense. Did you miss the word that came out of my mouth? I said we need to be responsible for that which we put into the environment.
Absolutely.
We need to be responsible on how we treat the land and how we treat the nature and the balance of life. I said that. I said, this ain't a left-wing, right-wing, conservative, liberal, what's a whistle? This is just a common sense conversation.
Okay, within this context of the conversation, it doesn't just include you, Tracy, it's other people. I'm saying, in general, it's not just you and Jeff, other people.
But can't you just talk in commonality, you know, just a good common sense.
My religion has nothing to do with me believing that when the climate scientists got caught just before the Aikido Accord 7-6 years ago, lying, saying they were going to cook the book because the earth hadn't changed enough. Now, you're going to tell me that this is the case. When they didn't go after all the other carbon emissions, they went only after CO2, and that's what they're going to trade and make trillions of dollars.
And what I'm saying
also, to bolster your point, Jeff, I got an article about Climate Gate 2. They were just basically saying some more embarrassing emails released. An unknown hacker went into top scientists engaged in political activism rather than science. And they got a bunch of emails. And basically in these emails, they're telling each other, well, the information is not saying this, but we need to manipulate it to get our point across. I can read it verbatim if you want me to. That's just 2 years ago.
But what I'm saying is
Eric.
No, that's not Eric. I think that's because I want to pull Bonnie in. What I'm saying is we have to begin to have conversations because what we're indoctrinated with, like the phone call we got a little bit earlier, like what our children are being taught inside of school, we are not paying attention that because they are putting certain types of dogma inside of the curriculum of our students, they are giving them a misunderstanding of common sense versus climate change versus global warming because they're indoctrinating us to believe something that is not factual. And that's where the problem lies. We need to understand the misinformation that is going out into side of our community at large. Yes, go ahead, AJ.
Because you're talking about my generation.
Yes.
This is why I don't even like science class. I've tried to enjoy science class, but just the it does not make sense to me. When global warming is explained to me in science, I can't do it. And I'm so glad that senior year I don't have to take a science.
But when you go to college,
I'm going to have to understand that.
And see what you do in your elementary schools, and then what you do in your post secondary schools, they're going to reiterate anything you may have forgotten to indoctrinate you some more about what they want you to believe, because they don't want to teach you to think. Critical thinking is a lost cause, and until we bring it back, you lose your common sense.
We don't even bring up the other side of maybe global warming does not exist, or maybe this does not exist. They teach one thing
and
in
one
science
thing,
classes,
and that's all.
One thing only. There's not. My neighbor is a high school science teacher at a neighboring school, and she believes in global warming, but she also teaches the other side of how it may not be true. I, on the other hand, was taught. I was taught from the time I was little in science class up to now, one thinking and one thinking only about global warming.
And that's what I'm saying is, you know, when it comes to rational thinking, you need to have all of the information. I'll tell you that something happens to me, and I'm going to pull Bonnie in before I go to break. I got some information from – Jeff called me and said, this is what's going on.
Uh-huh.
I took the information, and I called somebody else. They told me they wanted me to write it down and document it. So as I began to research it so I could pull the facts in, I began to find holes in the information.
Right.
And as I began to find holes in the information, before I put it down for what was necessary – I had to back up and do something else with it. So Jeff called me the other day and said, what I found out is what I told you may not have been what you thought it was.
Okay.
And what I thought it was.
And what he thought it was. So he came back and retracted. I've got a call where I was talking about, and I have to retract what I told him entirely, but I have to retract some of the details because I couldn't find a factual base.
Uh-huh.
That comes from critical thinking. But what I could have done is I could have gone and taken the information, put it to paper, documented it, sent it off, and created something that would have caused a fire.
Yeah.
And kept supporting it even though it was not true.
Exactly.
And what's happening is we have taken that type of thinking away from our people.
One way and one way only is what is it.
And it can't be that. Good morning, Bonnie.
Okay. Hello.
Hey, how you doing,
Tracy,
this morning?
I am doing awesome. And you guys are, you know, just awesome, too. I'm kind of curious where AJ attends school. I have a high school senior going into his senior year, so that's a question I want to ask. But in my mail last week, I received a global warming letter about how concerned I needed to be as an American, and it also asked for a contribution. I didn't know if any of your other callers received it, and it was definitely from the Democratic Party. And I got it in the mail.
Let me say this also, since you brought up the mail. There are, with the change of the law with 527s and super PACs and all that, there's a lot of information going out asking you to ask a lot of questions about
exactly
who you are, what you believe, where you belong, how do you vote, what your concerns are. Are you religious? Are you non-religious? Does your faith drive your vote? All that kind of stuff is going out to everybody. Please crash it.
I did what I thought was very, very smart with it. I put it in the recycling bin so I can save my planet from global warming.
But I want to say this because you brought it up.
I did my part.
Please trash it. Let me say this.
Exactly.
Or recycle it
because what's happening is they are profiling you by your own because you don't have to send any money in. And those of you who are seniors out there, you don't have anything else to do all day long besides fill out questionnaires that they send you.
That's why
they
kept asking you to.
Please, trash it because you don't like – they're spying on you by your own omission because you don't realize what you're answering. They're going to put into a database. They're going to profile who you are so they know how to target you in the future.
You're talking about a single party here? You're talking about an organization?
I'm talking about these are not parties. These are what you call 527s. They are political PACs that are federal. They're super PACs. And they're, because of metadata and because of analytics and because of a lot of things that you can do now with the computer system, mm-hmm. based upon who you are, based upon your address, based upon what you buy. Every time you swipe your card, Giant Eagle, grocery store, we know where you live, we know where you go, we know what you do, we know everything about you. So you need to be careful of the information that you give out, even when you think it's okay. It's like when you sign up for the free card in the mall and you get a bunch of sales calls. Well, yeah. this goes even bigger than that.
Or
I'm sorry, Bonnie, I didn't mean to overstep
emails.
You, but I want
no,
to.
I
just want to let you know
wanted,
that because people are not paying attention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's happening every day in the mail. Now, the other thing is that there is a book out called Conform, written by Gloria, and it is coming out on the 21st or the 22nd of July. So we need to be checking that out. It is about Common Core. And I have the book. I'm not through with the book yet.
Who's the author? Who's the author, Bonnie?
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck. And it's coming out on the, I think it's the 22nd of July. But last night I sat with my to-be high school senior. So I was curious where AJ went to school, if he could tell, or where he could say he's gone. And
I just go to
It's a rural school. I don't want to name the
you would
name
rather,
school.
You would rather
no.
not
no.
say?
Right.
You would rather
it's
not
my
say?
Public.
He goes to a
okay,
rural school.
Okay, are you in
Columbia
in the county? Columbia
no.
County or Mahoning County?
Neither.
Neither.
Neither
he travels
one.
A little
okay,
further.
So it's Trumbull.
No.
Okay.
It's a county.
It could be.
It's a county.
It could be. Okay. Well, I just wondered because, my senior feels a lot like AJ does. My senior does, and it makes it very difficult. It's really making it difficult to find a college. Are you finding it the same way?
Difficult to find a college?
Yeah.
No.
Finding one with your beliefs and your standards
Let me say this. I'm not very picky. Finding a college,
okay.
I just want to go where I can get the best education. If I go to one that challenges my beliefs, then they're going to challenge my beliefs. And you're going to have that in the world and no matter where you go. I'd rather go to a college where someone challenges my beliefs instead of somewhere where someone believes the same thing I do, because there'd never be debates. There'd never be you know what I'm saying. I'd rather a professor challenge me, and try and support what he's believing, and then I would also want to support what I believe, and then. A healthy debate.
Let me say.
To get at.
Let me say this. And when you look at colleges, and this is just my personal opinion, you will never, even if you send your child to a Christian, quote unquote, a so-called conservative Christian college,
which are becoming more liberal today,
you'd be surprised at how lack of Christian they are when they go. So you have to indoctrinate your child before that child goes. And my pastor's father says, you brainwash your child before he gets there so that when he gets there, he knows where to go.
Well, I didn't brainwash my child.
The heck you didn't.
No, I didn't.
You didn't make her. You didn't make her do anything, but you shaped her thought process.
Absolutely.
And cultivate, and that's what we're saying.
I taught her how to think.
But even in teaching her how to think, you taught her how to think from you put what you had in you in her.
And that's
what you're supposed to do, because that's what the Bible says.
But in my house, I live with a very conservative father and a very independent but leans more towards liberal mother.
Okay.
So I kind of was raised with both views. And I hear both sides all the time. And it's not a big issue in my family that my mom is more independent. My dad is hardcore conservative. But I have. I've heard both sides. And now as I'm an adult, I make my decision on,
Jeff,
my beliefs.
But Jeff's daughter, he put what they had in them in her. Now, they taught her how to think. Mm-hmm. But before she could think, they taught her how to think.
She still voted for Gary Johnson.
I'm just saying.
Right.
I might vote for him come 2016, and my mother is diehard voting for Hillary Clinton 2016. So
is my mother.
My mother don't want to talk to y'all.
No, I'm talking about AJ's mom. Me and AJ's mom have to talk.
Okay.
She said she'd vote for Hillary if she ran in 2016.
No, she just got a flat tire.
I said I grew up
my
in a
mother
home where
is
I had both parties.
Very far left. How does that work, AJ? I'm just curious.
What's that with my
did they
with my
not
parents?
Talk politics? Did they not talk politics with each other at all, or
no?
Just...
They do. They have. But the thing is, with my parents, is they would both give their sides to us kids, what they believe when it comes to politics, and then ultimately it was your choice of what you believe. And I mean, like I said, it isn't a huge issue in my house because it's whatever to us. But I am just saying I have heard both sides.
But let me ask this: but when it came to raising you,
yeah,
were you raised liberal or were you raised conservative?
Conservative. I would say my dad pushed his conservative values more than my mom pushed her more independent. And actually, I will say this: my mom used to be very conservative. My mom has recently, in the past few years, has become very independent. Now, I'm not saying liberal. I'm saying she has been kind of on both sides.
But being independent is not bad.
No, I don't think
being
it is at all.
Being too far right is bad, and being too far left is bad.
Oh, definitely.
I agree.
I have cousins I also have cousins that are too far left.
You need to be independent. The problem that we have today is people are not teaching their children to be to have their value. Because, see, I can say this about Jeff's daughter. Jeff put his value in his daughter. He and his wife put their values in his daughter and then taught her how to think and make good decisions based upon the value that they put in her.
Mm-hmm.
But the foundation had to be their value. I can't see Ariel at 3 years old cussing everybody out in the house because she was cute. I don't see it happening. I don't see her actually doing twerking.
Mm-hmm.
At 3 years old, and everybody taking the camera and saying it's cute.
Right.
Her value was put in so that when she came to make decisions, that her decisions would be based upon their value.
Right. And let me just say this also: is my parents put both their political thinking aside and just basically taught me and my siblings how to be well-rounded adults, how to be a productive member of society, and how to just kind of and be polite and be respectful
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll see you on the other side of my break.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, well, all I wanted to say
from Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is...
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
All I wanted to say was the scientific method is based on data that you're able to accumulate, and then you experiment on that data, and then you're able to draw some type of conclusion from that. So when we talk about science, we're talking about a method of trying to collect the information, then you're able to make some type of hypothesis based upon the person who was the scientist. Like it's based on their ability to analyze that information. So when you are presented with scientific principles in school, you have to engage in some type of critical thought to decide how you're able to analyze the information. Now, when it comes to atmospheric science, there's different layers to the atmosphere. And like I said, the whole thing in terms of global warming, they're going by a greenhouse effect.
I think you're way above their pay grade. I think that's what this problem is. I think you're way above their pay grade when it comes to this. They want they're indoctrinated with a certain belief, and instead of actually looking up the actual facts and the actual science and really studying it,
they're just passing along information that was passed along from them down to them.
Well,
headlines are passed down to them. And that's why this argument is – that's why you're having a hard time with this argument, because
Well, also, I just wanted to add, most of the Republican politicians are against any type of global warming because they don't want these big industries to have to retrofit their industry to try to reduce any type of carbon type of emissions. And that's the reason why they're against any policies that deal with global warming. Because
to deny global warming, when you say, oh, it's cold outside, that's not what global warming is.
Because they're trying to protect big business.
No one's denying global. No one's denying climate change. Nobody has ever denied. I've never said there's no such thing as that. I'm just saying that we don't.
When it was cold in wintertime, y'all said, oh, it's cold, but yet there's global warming. There's a such thing as climate change.
Because it's winter.
Global warming.
It's cold. It's cold because it's winter, John.
Of course, but you guys make a joke of it as if the colder temperatures that we're feeling, the extreme weather patterns that we're feeling, because it's wintertime, doesn't mean that global warming is a hoax. You guys make it seem like it's a joke. It's not.
Yeah, but what happened?
Both vortex is real.
But what happened last winter?
Is real.
But what happened last winter is you basically had a polar vortex to happen where you had the air from Canada that was up near the North Pole. Because those ice caps are starting to melt.
You explained that 30 minutes ago. We got you. 30 minutes
the
ago.
The air started
you said
to
that
shift
same thing.
Back over to the U.S.
We got you.
But that could happen again in 50 years. It might not happen again in 20 years.
No, man. It's above our pay grade, Eric. We got to let it go, man.
Yeah, you're right.
I wouldn't necessarily say you, but y'all have to admit, because Alabama, sometimes you get the information and you'll register it and you'll think, Eric, you too. But y'all have to admit, sometimes Tracy and Jeff will get into their politics, their ideologies, and will discount what's being told to them no matter what. Those are what we're talking about.
Well, I mean, all I was saying was that when you do science in the scientific method, you do need a control. Some sort of control needs to be established.
Yeah, you do need a
control. It's
kind of
difficult when you're dealing with the environment.
And you also have a variable involved as well. You have variables.
Yeah, you have your variables.
You
have
group.
How can you
but
establish that?
What has happened
that?
Recently is that most of the atmospheric scientists who have a sound background in their particular science, most of them have come to some type of consensus that there is some type of global warming that's happening across the globe. And it's not like you have, and it's not like
you
have fringe groups of people who aren't atmospheric science.
It's frustrating to have a conversation
who is saying this
when
is not
happening.
Not
listen and keep talking. What do you mean calm down? I sat here this whole break. Y'all been talking. You and him have been talking. All I did was make one point. He butt in the middle of my conversation and kept talking.
Look, guy, I'm not
that
trying to butt into your conversation.
How am I going to have a conversation with somebody
go back
when
and
they
do
just
some more research?
Especially,
because it's obvious
you see what
to me.
Right now? You see
it's
him?
Obvious
you see
to
doing?
Me that you don't know what you're talking about. You need to go back and do some more research. And don't come at me with this tough guy routine every time you come over here and want to start arguing.
Did I call you a name? Did I insult you? Did I say something against you?
You need to go back and do some more research because it's obvious to me that you don't know what you're talking about. So go back and do your research.
You disagree.
Go back and do your research. Go back and do your research and don't come at me with this tough guy routine. Go back and do your research.
I'm just saying you set me up.
Go back and do some research, guy. Go back and do some research.
Mayday, mayday. Please.
Okay,
I'm
good.
Don't hear y'all argue back and forth.
I'm good. I'm slow motion.
Well, that's good that you're slow motion.
That's good.
That's good for you. That's good for you that you're slow motion. But it's obvious to me that you get on here a lot of times and you don't know what the hell you're talking about. So what you need to do is go back and do some research. And don't come here with some tough guy routine every time that you disagree with
me.
Every time that you happen to disagree
with
something that somebody is saying.
But God knows
look,
the
man.
Guy had kicked him off because he don't never scream. He may.
I didn't say, but I didn't call him no name, and I didn't insult him.
I don't care what you call me a name. Don't come with
some
stuff down
the
street because you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about, and you don't scare me off the phone either. You don't scare me on the phone, guys.
Hold on. What did I say?
You don't scare me on the phone. I'm not scared of you.
What did I say? Quit being a woman and tell me what I said.
I'm not trying to be a woman.
How
about
you
being
a tough guy? How was I being a tough guy? I wasn't trying to
get you. Half of the stuff you say is ignorant as hell. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't scare me. I'm not a woman. Trust me.
I'm not a woman, God, trust me.
You don't scare me at all.
How was
you
I
don't
to be
scare
a
me
guy?
At all. I'm not frightened at all
you
by you.
So you all
you to kick your ass in Alabama and start to read some goddamn books.
I ain't scared of neither one of y'all. I'm just saying why y'all keep going around that I'm not a woman or treat you like a woman. I ain't scared neither one of y'all. Y'all can just leave women out of
this.
Okay.
Talking a bunch of shit, that's what you're doing. You're talking shit to the wrong one, though.
Whatever. I wish you was in my face talking that shit.
Trust me. Look, God.
Get in my
face.
Don't be talking on the phone like that.
If you fucking want it,
I
can bring it. I'll give you my address, and you can come see me, buddy. You can come see me.
Come on, man.
Trust me.
I'll give it to
you. I'll give you my address. You can come see me. I'm not scared of you. Talking that tough guy bullshit. Trust me. You can come see me. I'm not scared of
you. You did. You came
off
condescending.
You're talking to the wrong one. I'm the one who happens to...
Hey, man.
Who happens to put...
calm down. I'm really not upset.
You're talking to the wrong one.
Okay,
talking that tough guy
being
shit.
Being upset and calm down. Just because we disagree.
Talking
but
that shit.
Trying to make,
talking
no,
that
no,
tough
no,
guy
no,
shit.
No.
What you need to do is go pick up a book and read it.
How did I try
to tough guy? You fucking Bama motherfucker.
Whoa, whoa.
You fucking Bama,
you
fucking
man, you got
country
me.
Bama
you got
motherfucker,
me.
Fuck you.
You got me.
Who the fuck you talking
you
to like that?
You hurt me.
God,
you killing
man.
Me, man.
Motherfucker,
I'm
going to handle you. You fucking Bama, country Bama, motherfucker.
Me, John,
who the fuck
me.
You
John,
talking
John,
to like that?
At me.
John,
man. Whoa, John. Take a breath, bro.
You ain't nothing but a fucking Bama.
John, man, calm down. You killing me. You stabbing me with your words. You hurting me.
You
look,
God, look, God, I'll give you my address. You can come see me.
I told you.
I'll give you my address. You can come see me, you fucking Bama.
For instance, when you vote, you are doing something for that person. You are giving them power.
They're not going to let it go.
In order to help yourself. But a lot of people I questioned about why they voted for Obama responded by saying, I don't expect anything from him. But if you're dumb enough to vote for someone without expecting something from them, then why did you vote at all? This is sheer ignorance. You are giving someone else something, but you aren't expecting anything from them. Granted, some of these people were just saying that because they realized they had lost the debate and were just retreating to the only answer they could. But when you look at the way black people vote, even in the cities where we're the majority, it's clear we don't just talk that way. We live that way. You can blame Mitt Romney and the Republicans all you want by saying they've stacked the deck nationally against black people. But what have black people done with their votes to stack the deck in favor of themselves where we are the majority? You already know the answer. Look at Detroit. We've been the majority for 3 decades, and what have we done with it? Detroit has become a national embarrassment because of one corrupt black politician after another who lost all their power for sex. The housing is worthless, and the economy is non-existent. But even though we're the numerical majority, most of the city contracts still go to white companies. Even with majority black city councils and all black mayors, we are still unable to use politics to empower ourselves. Meanwhile, everyone else does, and we still elect and re-elect the same impotent poverty pimps who do nothing but give themselves power and give us nothing. How about Memphis? Memphis is wall-to-wall baby mamas and bastard babies. That's what the black population has done with its power. And, of course, the poster child for black mismanagement of power, New Orleans. New Orleans is consistently the biggest tourist attraction in America, and yet it is also the biggest slum in America. Its homeless rate is horrendous. Its poverty rate is staggering. Its unemployment rate is disgusting. The schools are a cesspool that had to be taken over by the government because black people kept electing the likes of Marc Morial and his daddy. And even after Hurricane Katrina, it took New Orleans 5 seconds to forget all the lessons or the consequences of poverty and misery that Katrina had taught them, and they reverted back to their old ways. The truth is, power is wasted on black people. We can't define it, we're afraid to use it, and we ridicule the members of our group who do. We watch as other races use power to benefit their people, but we tell ourselves we aren't allowed to do that. We watch as white people use power to award themselves no-bid government contracts like Halliburton and Blackwater in Iraq. We watch Hispanics use power to make citizens of illegal aliens. We watch as Arabs use power to lock up every vacant corner in town to sell liquor to our people. All these people are using the right to vote to make a society that gives them preferential treatment. And when you tell black people we need to do the same thing, they come back telling you about Jesus. They tell you that we can't be biased in favoring the empowerment of our people. They tell you idiotic things like Obama can't favor black people. He has to represent all people. And a person who says, I will vote to give someone power, but I don't expect that person to use that power to represent me, isn't a responsible citizen. They're a fan. You see, a fan will go to the movies and give his money to the stars of the film, but doesn't expect the stars to do anything for them. A fan buys novels and comic books and gives their money to the book publishers, but doesn't expect them to do anything for them. A fan goes to professional sports events and cheers wildly when the team wins and cries hysterically when the team loses. But while he's at the stadium, they tell themselves that they are somehow invested in the success of a sports team that they don't own, make no money off of, and have zero control over. But after he leaves, he doesn't expect them to do anything for him, because ultimately he knows he's just a fan, and the game is for the benefit of the people who own the game, not the people who watch the game. Well, we're all playing a game. It's called the game of survival. But this game isn't a spectator sport. You're a participant from the time you're born, and you have no choice in whether or not you play. When you win, you live. When you lose, you die. There are no rules. There are just the living and the dead. And those who live longest are those who take the most control of the world around them. All the spectators get eaten by the players.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. Alabama sent this over to me via Facebook. And actually, if you go on there, and I'm going to open up an Evernote line where you can actually start putting videos and articles and things in there where you can, so we can actually find them. Uh-huh. And you can, and so we can view them before they actually come on, and give me some time to even bring in the people who actually produce the videos, the articles, and or the information. So I will make sure I have it for you on Monday. There'll be a clip that you can actually go to, that you'll know where you're going, what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to thank Alabama for that. And then we've been saying that all along, that people did, they waste their vote. They vote on emotion. They, as he said, a football. They vote like it's a football game. I won! Yay! And you go and you think that you won something because the Browns won against the Steelers, and you think you got something. But at the end of the day, you paid your money, you sat in the cold, and you wore your gear, and
sometimes
then you go
it's
home.
Worth it.
And no, but let me finish. But then you go home, and when you go home at the end of the night, you go home frostbitten with a cold, and you have absolutely nothing to show.
And the owner sat up in a loge, warm,
absolutely,
drinking,
absolutely,
whatever he wanted,
absolutely,
and eating whatever he wanted,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you've got. It turns his mic up, please. He's on one. Larry Long just came in with us, and I want to get this out because I'm gonna, and I'll be quiet.
Yeah, because your analogy was all messed up. You said the Browns beat.
Every now and then the Browns win the Super Bowl, and it's called they went beat the Steelers. So you got to give them credit because I told you I became a Browns fan soon. So I'm a Browns and a Steelers fan, but so I got to use the analogy that I got. It's not like they've never been to the
Super Bowl.
It's not like they go to the Super Bowl. They don't even make it too far through the playoffs. Come
they,
on, you know, give
they,
me
give
them
make the playoffs.
Gotta win.
That's what I'm saying. They haven't
taken. And recent history, when?
We got in the first.
They got in the first round and got kicked out. So, you know, I told you I became a Browns fan. When they picked Cleveland for the RNC, I became a Browns fan. I got to go with what I got.
So the only time that they win is when they win the Steelers. That's their Super Bowl. Let me give them a break. So so let me finish this.
You know something wrong when she asked them to give the Browns a break. My God. Go ahead.
Give them a break. You know, they're diehard fans. Now, let's talk about diehard fans. And you gotta, you have to equate the Democrat Party to the Browns fans. The Browns fans wear their gear come heck or high water.
I give them that.
They are diehard fans. No matter what goes on, no matter how bad of a season, no matter what happens, they're the dog pound. They love their team, and the team never wins, and they don't get nothing from the team. They don't get nothing from the team. They don't even get a good. They ain't got. They're just spending their money wearing it. They just happy. Hey, hold
now
on, AJ. Hold
going.
On.
Now I see where you're
going. You follow me? You're Brown. They Brown fans. They die
with it
now.
I'm on it now.
You see,
black people, they down hard Democrats. They don't get nothing from them. They don't love them no more. They Brown fans. They got it going on. So what if you following me? Hold on.
You're going off.
Where did I go, huh?
You're going crazy.
I ain't going crazy. It's real.
Hey,
I'm
don't
serious.
Forget about us. Don't forget about us Indians fans over here. No, 1948 was the last World Series in Cleveland.
Now,
pretty diehard over here.
You're missing the analogy. Enlighten your mind. Open it up. Listen to what I'm saying.
I am.
The Indians do get almost to the pennant, even if they can't win it. The Browns don't even get there.
They don't
even
get shot.
Yeah, you're right.
They don't even – and people, they keep on going. And the Browns leave town, become the Ravens, and the Browns still be like Brown fans. So what I'm telling you is they run away from them, and they still Brown fans. So what I'm saying is
–
what I'm saying is we have to quit thinking about our politics like we do our football team. The man was right.
Touchdown.
The man was right. And if you look at a Browns fan, if you equal them to a Democrat, a black person in the Democrat Party, they're equal.
No, they're unequal because of this.
Explain, Lucy.
The Browns don't inflict damage on their fans.
They're
just
members who are crazy. They got Browns rooms.
Yes.
They got Browns T-shirt. They got Brown. They done covered their whole house in Browns. Ugly colors too.
Yeah.
They done covered their whole house in this. And when
there
the Browns,
we go.
And I got one cousin. I love him. I hope he ain't listening because I won't let him on because he can't stop cussing. But you know, when the Browns win, we eat well on Sunday. When the Browns lose, you can starve. Bad attitude, bad day.
Larry.
You know what? He acts like the Browns are not going to win.
Larry.
He could have woke up in the morning, no, the Browns are going to lose. I might as well be happy about it anyhow.
Fellas,
I'm just saying is, you know.
I eat well every Sunday.
We're not talking
win,
about.
Win, lose,
no,
draw.
No.
I do not care.
Jeff.
It's over with
Jeff,
the food.
Listen to what I'm saying. It's not about you eating because you're going to eat well.
Always.
Our problem is when he feeds us, we know. When the Browns win, we eat well.
I watched
when the Browns lose, he eats well, we don't eat.
I washed the windscreens the other day, and I'm going to have to wash yours all over again.
I know, that's been all over it. I'm just saying.
I have to agree with Jeff on that, Tracy. They don't. The Browns, by them losing or having bad, you know, picking 19 quarterbacks
right,
in the last 8 years, that hurts maybe your pride. And actually, that hurts their pride because a Browns fan is a loyal fan.
We still love them.
It's a loyal fan. My dad is.
So why are people loyal to something and the Democrat Party? The man said, and Alabama, I thank you for this, but the man said, and we have said this before, we are so dedicated to the team,
mm-hmm.
not realizing the team is getting ready to kill us.
You.
That's the point.
Hey,
that's the point in a nutshell.
To calm Tracy down here.
What?
I got Jeff, you were out of the room. I was talking to Tracy about
man.
This is getting off subject, but I told you I had to save it for the air. Tracy's profile picture on Facebook. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I asked her, I said, Tracy, when was that picture taken? She said, just a couple weeks ago. And I said, all right, well, I had someone ask me about that picture. And it was my sister, because she's friends with you on Facebook. And she goes, Aaron, I like Tracy's Facebook picture. I was like, oh, yeah? She goes, yeah, is that from senior year in high school? Dead serious.
That's
she
a compliment
that.
There.
I said, I don't think so. And she goes, I was like, that looks pretty recent. She goes, that looks like a senior year picture right there. So there's something
there
to mellow
don't
you out.
Try
at 60 years old, you
don't
still look like that. Serious. She said, that's serious. That looks like a senior picture.
Oh, I'm as good as her at 60.
Yeah.
You guys.
Tracy.
My God. Thank you, Larry. That just cut all that brown chilling out. I appreciate that. You gave me a break, even though you ain't going to give me the one when we play you all on the first game.
That was I've only been out of high school a couple of years.
I've been out of high school a couple of decades.
You just graduated, didn't you?
How you get me at 60? I'm not even 50 yet.
Oh.
Did I say 60?
I ain't even 50 yet.
You are a good-looking woman, though, Tracy. You look young.
I ain't 60. Bless y'all. I'm not 60 yet.
Okay, you're
59. Come on, Diva. Now, you stop that.
I'm trying to buy favor.
It's working.
Diva's going to talk all day now.
I'm not into women, but Tracy's a very beautiful woman, I think. I may not agree with her politics, but I think she's a very beautiful woman.
Things are changing around here.
When I first met you two, I will say I thought you guys weren't. I thought both of you. I thought you were. I didn't think you guys had hit 50 yet. I'm not lying. I thought you were in your late
40s. I haven't hit 50.
Yeah, he passed it up.
Jeff has slapped 50 and right across the street.
I haven't jumped 50.
Jeff dresses like I do.
I jumped over 50.
I'll tell you what. Jeff does not look his age, but I got the opportunity to meet Jeff's father. And
he didn't look his age.
No,
he sure didn't.
Yeah, Jeff's father was.
I am blessed with good genes because my family does not look their age. But I am not 50 yet, guys. I have a few more months. I've got 6 months, as a matter of fact. So
I don't believe that, Tracy.
Yeah,
I want to see
that
driver's license.
I want to see the birth certificate.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I want to see the
birth certificate. If Obama had to produce his, Tracy, you got to produce yours.
I believe you.
Let's get it going.
Thank you.
I believe you.
I don't.
Now, I believe you're a natural-born citizen, but I still want to see the birthday.
Well, listen, I'm not a natural-born citizen.
Where was you born?
I can't think of a lie that fast. Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Massachusetts.
Canada.
I was born
by the river. Get a little tip.
As a matter of fact, if you ask my cousins, they said that I was hatched in a ditch outside of the Sharon line.
Everybody gets that.
I always tell my little brother, he's got a little birthmark right on his back, right above his butt. He's and I always say, I always tell him, he's like, where did that come from? I said, buddy, that's where they cut off your tail when you were born.
See, you guys are so
wrong. What?
Scarty.
What? Yeah. I tell him that now. He's only 11, but when he was little, I was like, that's where they cut off your tail.
That's his job. That's what you do as a big brother.
What do you mean that's what you do?
That's your job. Sort of like it's my job when I come in here and see him with that brown hat on to start ripping on him. You know what I mean? I was like,
well, listen, don't rip on him because remember, Browns, Democrat.
Yeah.
Listen, all you got to think is the RNC is coming to Cleveland.
And
they're not coming to Pittsburgh. They're coming to Cleveland.
I just told my dad yesterday. What if the nominee for the Republicans wants to stay somewhere where he's away from the public, and he comes out to where I live, where it's in the middle of nowhere? My dad goes, I got an extra room. He goes, he can bunk up at my place. I said, what if he does that? What if he says, I want to stay somewhere where I'm isolated until the convention from
Pittsburgh? Don't worry about it. I got that covered.
I gotta give him a thumbs down on that one.
Yeah, I can tell you what, though.
I got that covered.
It just doesn't benefit Cleveland. I mean, Mahoning Valley here is going to benefit from this.
We're going to be busy.
The state of Ohio is going to be hot.
Isn't Columbus still in the running for the DNC?
DNC,
yes.
That'll never happen.
Yeah, they don't want to
they don't
want to
go.
I told my grandma. I said, did you hear Columbus? Did you hear the Democrats want to go to Columbus? And she goes, oh. They'll do it, too.
Listen,
they'll do it. She put her hands up. She goes, they'll go to Columbus.
Let me tell you why they won't go to Columbus.
She got all fired up.
because if the DNC and the RNC hit Ohio, it will make Governor Kasich look entirely it will put him in like the what status is that? I mean, it'll be so far up the chain.
Yeah, he'll be king status.
Stratusfield. I mean, it'd be like King James and King Kasich.
Are you gonna speak at the RNC?
I would love to. I hope they give me the opportunity.
Do you think they will?
I don't know. You never know what happens. No one knows what goes on behind closed doors.
Keynote speaker Tracy Winters.
No, that would not be. I'm not even going.
You have to catch her on C-SPAN.
I'm not that far up the food chain. No, that won't happen. And I would not want to be.
I know that's right.
Let me tell you why. Because they went after Condoleezza Rice in 2012 because she had lipstick on her teeth. So after all the words she said, she did a wonderful speech. And the only thing they could say is she had lipstick on her teeth. Hey, I just want them to just give me an opportunity to make sure that I can highlight the African-Americans within the RNC across this country. Mm-hmm. And if they'll give me the opportunity to do that, to hold a caucus there of African-Americans across this country, to bring us together for an award with the RNC African-American Minority Outreach Coordinator. Her name is Crystal Hartel.
Mm-hmm.
If they'll give me that opportunity to do that and help her with that and to show just how great African-Americans, Republicans, and conservatives are, that will make my day.
Yep, that would be great.
Yeah.
So that's my goal, if anybody wants to know.
I'm just so fired up for Cleveland and for the state of Ohio because we had an awesome week just last week.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
With the RNC coming to Cleveland and then LeBron coming back to Cleveland.
You got he got King James returned.
Yeah, look at that.
He got his shirt already. How in the world?
Forgiven. For the six. Forgiven. And I'm so pumped and I'm so excited Why are you interrupting me?
Because.
I'm just excited to see.
He's just happy to be here.
Well, I'm always happy to be here.
I have to say something. Last week, you got to be careful, because I understand you were on Y103 too.
I was on Rock 104.
Rock 104.
Who'd you hear that from?
See, you got to cut. Jeff, he'd be coming in here in the morning and sliding into the station. And like throwing a coup and stuff.
I was wondering if you were going to hear about that or not. That I was on Rock 104.
It was 104. I thought it was Y103.
I was on Y103.
Oh
yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
So that was I was not. He came to me.
Did you ever speak on Y103?
I've never been on
Y103. I've never been on
Y103. Well, you know I get here.
Have you been on Y103?
Let me explain myself. I get here early. I get here before all y'all.
That's true.
So I sit here. I'm just waiting. And then can I talk about it? Spats.
That's because you have nothing to do.
That's true.
Whoa. I have a long drive, so I want to make sure I get here.
Oh, yeah, go boy.
Let me finish.
Okay.
So I'm just sitting here minding my own business. I was playing on my iPad or something. Spats from Y103 came in and said, hey, you got a second? And I was like, yeah, I maybe need help carrying boxes. I don't know what he needed. He goes, have a seat. And I was like, and I sat down, and I was like, you know if Tracy comes in, she's not going to be happy. He goes, I'll take care of Tracy. That's what he told me. And he goes, I need you to say something for me on Y103. So I did.
You understand? He comes in the morning. Uh-huh. He slivers through the station.
Yeah.
He's been on Hot. He's been on Hot 101.
I have been on Hot 103. Yes, and Rock 104.
And Rock 104. I've been on
WSOM, the old station.
WSOM.
The old station.
WSOM Blog Talk, Tracy and Friends. WSOM. And they never let me go and be on a rock.
I'm getting my foot in the door, Tracy. I'm getting my foot in the door. I was also I guess you didn't hear that I was on Rock 104 too. That was last week too. I got invited by the afternoon host at Rock 104 to come in and sit with him.
He had just kicked Tracy saying,
he using me as a stepstone. A ladder. He just using me just walking
Tracy,
all
you
over.
You gave me. I will always say you were the one that gave
me
my start. Yes.
No,
yeah.
I'm gonna further though destroy women on this show today.
What, Jeff?
I got this picture of a Duck Dynasty guy, right?
And it says,
if a girl ever pulls out a knife on you during an argument, pull out some bread and mayo, and her woman instincts will kick in, and she'll make you a sandwich.
Yeah. Honey.
What? That actually is hilarious.
Yeah.
What?
That'll get you killed.
Yes, it will.
You know,
That's what I said.
You know what? I got to call your wife.
You don't have to.
Alabama,
she'll feel that I said that and question me about it when I get
home. Yeah, I'm here.
I'm going to text her on the way home.
Don't text on the way home. Wait till you get home to text. No texting and driving.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm a texter when we get off the air.
How's that?
Okay.
Yeah, no texting.
Good morning, Alabama. A very, very good clip. Very, very good clip. It's so very, very true.
That's Jason Black.
That's Jason. Okay. We got to get him back on again.
I enjoyed that.
Now you're going to get him on when I'm in Atlanta. Now I can't work. I can't show up because I'm going to be in Atlanta going to work at 9, 8 o'clock, actually. So
you get the podcast of the lunch. Show.
Yeah, well, I'll take an early lunch or something and come in and catch it or something. Just let me know in advance. Send me a message.
Okay. I'll let you know.
Yeah, so, you call the blog.
So you're going to be off for a while, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll probably catch y'all for lunch sometime. Just depends. It just depends. I might have an opportunity to come in.
So can I get a loan? Because I know how much money you make an hour.
What are you talking about, man?
It says, I know how much money you make an hour. You understand?
I'm trying to get on your level. I get me
listen,
a show.
I know. I can count up people's money. I'm good at it. I'm just telling you now, I'm coming to the ATL and, you know, they got good food down there. And I don't want to go to that soul food restaurant. They got good food. Hey, Dominique, he played for
Wilkins.
He still have his club down there?
No, you talking about Atlanta Knights? That's
I don't remember what it was called.
Atlanta Knights. They done changed all Atlanta. I wouldn't open a club down here. It's so competitive. I mean, it's so many clubs and strip clubs.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's everywhere. So it's real competitive. I wouldn't do it. That's not a business I would do in Atlanta because there's thousands of them.
I got to give you guys Jason Black just posted something really about 5 minutes ago. And he just said that's the guy who we just heard talking about black folks voting. He said the problem with black folk is that they would rather look paid and be broke than to be broke and look paid.
Mm.
And I just thought that would be just a caveat for the day.
Because we got all off the global warming thing, didn't we?
Global warming wasn't even in our purview. Phone call, and the lady was talking about it.
Yeah, I heard that.
It was a computerized call at that.
Yeah, it was a computer voice. But here's my thing on that. Everybody is running headstrong away from the global warming, except us. The Aussies just repealed that carbon tax that they had down there that they were paying.
Absolutely.
Can I say one more time? Money.
But they ain't going to make no money.
The whole world. No.
The whole world.
Hold on, Jeff. Who ain't going to make no money?
The people thinking they're going to cash in on it.
Hold on. Who not going to make no money? You ain't not going to make no money. Some other people, but there's some other people, they're going to make some money. Well, take off your headset and walk out the door.
Yeah, I ain't making no money. But here's the thing, Tracy. People still, like, there's a guy on Jeff's, what's his name, Chris?
Collector, yeah.
Collector. I mean, this guy's still buying it.
It don't matter.
He's trying to peddle it, too.
Listen, the Kool-Aid is like Jim Jones.
Yeah,
tastes good going down.
Yeah, but then when you die, I mean,
it's okay. You won't know. When you drink the Kool-Aid, it tastes so good going down. When you go into shock, all you can do is, like, burp up the bad Kool-Aid and be like, that was bad.
Have
you ever had something called the Stepsy? That's when you're drinking a soda or something and it comes back.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, you get that acidic taste.
Right.
It's off of your reflux.
There you go. There you go. That's just what it's like. You keep on drinking it and keep on eating it and it keeps on going down.
Uh-huh.
And then it comes back and it's, that was bad. And you go back and drink it again.
Drink it again.
Hey, good morning. Hold on, not so blind, Mike. I got to pick up sticks first. Good morning, sticks.
Pick up sticks.
Yeah.
Pick up
five, six.
Yeah.
Pixie sticks.
5, 6.
7, 8. Hi, sticks.
Yep. Oh, yeah, we're committing economic suicide with this climate change stuff, and there's going to be 1,400 new coal-fired power plants built around the world in the next year.
Thank you.
So,
why did y'all go back to global warming? I'm going to break.
We were having a good time.
Okay.
We were laughing and joking, and here y'all go. I want to go back to global warming. I keep on telling y'all. Global warming is a global lie. So we need to get back on some, because they, and let me say this, we need to make sure that we quit quit changing with the wind, because the administrator wants you, the administration wants you to talk about everything else except for what's really going on, because they don't want you to know the truth, because you can't handle the truth.
Did you hear about the, there was another computer crash over at the Federal Election Commission?
I didn't hear where it was, but I heard there was another crash and some more emails went missing.
Yeah, the Federal Election Commission, and the woman that was doing it was tweeting very, very pro-Obama stuff all the way through the election.
All the way through.
And
she's being investigated for violations of the Hatch Act, which is using her public office for political purposes.
What's wrong with that?
If you're part of the executive branch, you cannot solicit campaign funds during using federal government resources.
There you guys go. What is wrong with that?
You can't campaign, period, for somebody one way or another when you're in a federal position where you can affect the outcome of an election.
We ain't firing. Y'all keep on getting in the... There's nothing wrong with that. You're overthinking this.
Oh, I'm overthinking it. Okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay.
The administration has your back.
Yeah, they love us.
Absolutely.
So I don't even know why we're even talking.
That's what I'm
we
saying.
We should shut the show down tomorrow. Monday, don't show up.
No, we have to show up.
No reason.
No, Monday.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing going on here. You know, Eric Holder finally had the... Had to say he's going to investigate the missing emails.
Well, Eric Holder just got done coming. He's in Ohio trying to say we're suppressing the vote. So you know, don't even worry about it. You know, we're all bad. They're all good.
Tracy.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the prank caller that called MSNBC yesterday?
Yeah, I did. There was a prank call on MSNBC, it was bad. That the girl was live on air. I don't know how that happened.
On MSNBC?
Yes.
Because she's airhead. That's why. She doesn't listen. She's a typical interviewer. She's got her list of questions, and she's not paying attention to the guests. Your industry, Tracy, has fallen from the days of when real interviews could be done. You have amateurs in front of microphones now because you know what? Because they sell deodorant because everybody hangs on to see her boobs at the next after the commercial's over. These people are pretty faces and stupid, nothing between their ears.
Can you find that online?
And there's 10 people on that show, the producers and everybody, if you know anything about television, any one of them should have caught it right away. But then again, I guess they don't know what caller ID is, so when the guy called in, they didn't see that was Belgrade, Yugoslavia, or wherever she was supposed to be calling from, for Kiev or whatever.
This is the problem. This is the problem, and we need to understand this.
Yeah.
It is. I've been talking about this for weeks and for months and for years. Journalism as we once knew it no longer exists. This is news. Because people still watch the news and they think the news is the news. I just did a media buy. And when I went to buy it, I went to buy the news channel, and there were some news channels. They said, don't even waste your time because it's not worth it.
Local news, though? What about local?
Local news is still not as in-depth as it should be.
I think it's better than mainstream.
I don't think so.
Why?
And when I say because there are still things here that we should cover.
Do they have an agenda on local news, like mainstream?
Absolutely.
Does?
Absolutely. And total control. Absolutely.
I like some of the prime time mainstream shows. I like the O'Reilly Factor.
Ooh, that's Fox News.
That's Fox News.
That's mainstream media.
That's not.
Fox News
is not
mainstream
media.
No. That's cable news.
What is?
CBS, NBC, and ABC.
Right. So is Fox News.
No.
How are they different from CNN?
Because they're not a free broadcast.
Right.
Remember, MSNBC is controlled by NBC, which controls NBC. So NBC, they're all one conglomerate. CBS, ABC. Fox has a channel, but it's an offline channel. and Fox News, Murdoch, it's a cable news. Cable news is not broadcast news. You will not find Fox News on any...
I don't have cable. I have DirecTV.
Okay, but, you know, cable news and DirecTV, well, it's paid TV.
Right. I understand.
You will not find Fox News on non-paid television.
No.
It's, now, they're upset because Fox is spanking their butt and ratings all up and down the
even,
list.
Even at that, because... Yeah. Network news is only comes in. Fox News had a 27 share. Network News had a 25 share.
I think it's less than that.
No, yeah, they were close. I can pull it up.
No, I'm saying because remember they go by weeks. And let me say this: the reason why I say that is because locally, as I was saying, I just got done doing a media buy,
mm-hmm.
and I was buying news channels.
Yeah.
And the highest rating news channel was Fox.
Fox. Absolutely.
And when I went to buy some other channels, and I won't call them out. They said, don't waste your time.
Nobody's watching.
MSNBC
had three stars.
I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back
right
the thick
store.
And muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at tomorrow.
Hey, you know what else those people didn't know? Who got that girl who got bagged by that pretender they didn't vet? The guy said he was at the embassy, and he mentioned the city. If they knew anything about the world, they would have seen that the plane came down 500 miles away from that location where he said he was. There was no way he looked out the window and saw anything.
But the plane came down because the plane was targeted by some type of rebels that were pro- that were in favor of that country being part of Russia.
Yeah.
They targeted the plane because at the time the plane was at over 30,000 feet.
Correct.
It was a passenger plane, so somebody had to plan that attack.
Well, the problem is, depending upon what technologies those rebels were given, the more modern technology would have recognized the transponder as a commercial jet, not a military plane, and would not have launched the missile. But if they had lower-level technology, they could launch. And the problem is that the body style that they make the military transports out of are the exact same planes they make the passenger planes out of, just with no seats in them. So
if
by strict radar signature, it would look just like a military transport. It's big enough, you know. So it was stupidity. It's sad. But, you know, here's the bottom line. Where did those people get that technology? Of course, we really can't come out too hard against Russia for giving them that technology because we don't know Russia gave it to them. It could have been left behind, and they could have acquired it. Oh, you mean like the ISIS there in Iraq right now grabbing all our left-behind military stuff? Oh, you know, so there's not much we can complain about there because we just did the same darn thing in the Middle East.
But what they're starting to say now, there was a large number of AIDS researchers that were on that plane. There's a possibility you had a lot of people who were American citizens on that plane. So, therefore, if we find out that the Russians gave them the technology to track the plane, that's going to cause like a lot of tension.
Well, there were
between the U.S.
American
and Russia
citizens. There were 23, from what I heard, or 25 American citizens. The biggest part were Dutch citizens on the plane. They were like 150 plus of Dutch citizens. The bottom line is that plane should, when this kind of crap is going on, I mean, they shot down two planes, one a day for the two previous days. Every commercial airline in the world should know then you just don't overfly a combat zone.
Well, I don't know how sophisticated the Malaysian airlines are with their routes, but like you said,
they're very
they
would be in the air. Nobody
I mean, they weren't able to distinguish a passenger plane from a plane that was a cargo plane.
Yeah, the captain does have authority to redirect the flight, though. He has that authority.
Malaysia
can
redirect the flight. It's not that hard to change the flight plan.
And the air traffic control has to comply.
Yeah. The standard for air travel in the world is the U.S. standard. We set it up. That's why all pilots speak English at all the airports in the world coming in, all traffic control. And the United States and every other country would not allow the Malaysians to even fly over the country if they were not holding the international standards, because it's the agreed upon safety, the altitude, the directions, the air patterns they fly and everything else. It's all protocol, well established. If you don't obey, you don't play. It's that simple.
Yeah.
That's so they could have easily reprogrammed. Come on, we're in the day of autopilot. They could have punched in a few numbers. The pilot could have grabbed the stick and took it off of autopilot and just flew around that whole mess, and we wouldn't have had all those tragedies. It was about saving fuel, point A to point B, shortest distance. They took their chances. They lost.
Exactly. I honestly believe it was an accident. I don't think it was intentional.
No, I don't think it was. I think it was an accident. I think the plane was mistaken for a cargo plane, and the rebels said, "Oh boy," because the rebels went up on Twitter and claimed they just brought down a cargo plane at the exact same time that one was hit, and then an hour later that post was taken off of Twitter.
Yeah, when they realized they had their oops moment and took it down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like the light went on, and they go, "Oops, oops," you know. Well, we needed to practice.
Yeah, we're dead anyway. We're going to be executed anyway when they find out it was us hit the button. So
yeah, exactly. But then again, we can't complain either because I forget the year, but we
and
brought
I'm
down.
I'm glad to have you here with us. I've got AJ and Larry and Jeff in studio with me. We'll be back here on Monday doing this all over again. I don't know what we're going to be talking about. Did I hear? Who's that? Did I hear there were colorful superlatives being sung in my break?
Is that what
I heard? I heard there were colorful superlatives being said during my breaks.
No,
during this
in
break?
The chat room.
You know, one of the breaks there were colorful superlatives going on during one of my breaks.
No.
Yeah, somebody got extremely offended and went a little too far.
Well, that isn't now.
No. I'm just saying.
Before I was on the phone, I didn't hear it.
But do we understand that we don't do colorful superlatives on Tracy and Friends?
But see, here's the thing.
Bad words.
This person is normally has a very mild temperament, and for him to go that far was very shocking to me.
But I'm just saying, colorful superlatives are not allowed on Tracy and Friends show, even during breaks when you don't think that we're listening, because in actuality, we're not listening, but people are listening, and I need for you to be respectful and mindful. And if you cannot articulate your frustration with people in a non-offensive way, then you need to either hang up the phone or mute the phone or chew a piece of gum or whistle. Because we do not use cursing. Colorful superlatives is bad words. Even if you can say them a lot and you're allowed to say them on the Internet, you don't say them on my show because I do my best to try to get us to somehow respect everybody, even when they – and we know we got people that are buttholes. We know it. And people get on our nerves and they get under our skin. But we don't do that. What?
See, you always muting me, and now they don't listen to me during the break. They used to listen to me. Now they give me no respect during the break.
I got no respect. No respect.
That's right. We wondered who was going to replace Rodney Dangerfield. We now know it's Diva.
No respect.
We've been wondering who was going to make the next Caddyshack movie. It's going to be Diva.
My girlfriend called me. She told me nobody's home.
Y'all,
come on
y'all,
over.
Y'all,
I went over.
Y'all,
and nobody
y'all,
was home.
Y'all,
you know,
y'all,
Diva
y'all,
the
y'all,
right
y'all, y'all, I'm just in a good mood right now.
I get no respect.
I'm glad everybody's in a good mood because it's Friday.
And it's beautiful out.
Yes.
I keep saying that.
It is gorgeous. I'm looking
My
forward to a great day.
Did you see the two hot news stories this week?
I can't hear everybody. Very good.
Did you hear the two hot stories out of NASA this week?
Two stories about NASA. What about them?
Well, two really hot stories. One is that NASA has gone on the record that within 20 years they will be able to prove there is other life in the universe and we are not alone. That story got kind of buried with all the crisis going on. And another one, they interviewed on the 45th anniversary, they interviewed Buzz Aldrin, who was the other man who walked on the moon with Neil Armstrong that first day. And they, you know, he said, well, and of course, Buzz Aldrin's in his 80s, and sometimes you get that far into life, you just are not politically correct anymore, you know, so you'll say whatever's on your mind. And he said, well, what do you think about Neil being, how'd you find, you know, here you were second on the moon, he was first, you know, how do you feel about that? And he said, well, Neil may have been the first person to walk on the moon, but I did something first on the moon that nobody else ever did. And he said, and to me, at that moment, that was far more significant than him walking on the moon. And they said, Buzz, what did you do? What was your record? He said, I was the first man to urinate. I had to go so bad by the time we landed. Honest to God.
Mike.
You
couldn't have said that.
Mike.
You know?
Mike.
And we're going
Mike.
Like, Buzz, you know?
Mike.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yes.
Listen, let me tell you
not
something.
I cleaned it
let
up,
me tell
crazy.
You something. Mike. Mike. Listen.
Yes.
Let me say, listen, go back. Take your meds. One, that wasn't funny. And two, there's no way that happened.
It was on Fox News on an interview.
Listen, he might have said it in an interview. He may have had it potty, but he pottied on himself because the suits are enclosed.
Well, but no, but you
that's
see,
a bad
the suit
feeling.
He was in.
Hang
on,
anyway.
The suit he was in, he was taking off as soon as they left the moon 2 hours later. So he didn't care. He was going to go to a clean suit, but he needed to go, and he wasn't going to wait until he got back to
point.
The command
point. You missed my point. You got what? They got diapers on.
They got the
catheter. He claims he was the first in that category. I'm not going
to
argue
who
with
wants,
man now.
Who wants
he
to be?
Isn't he out in your neck of the woods?
Who wants to claim the same, to say that I went to potty on the moon? Hello?
Tracy.
Well, you know, Tracy, you see, you're not a guy. And see, Styx will go with me on this. Styx, we pay our bills. We own our property. There are times I'm just too lazy to walk back to the house, and behind the barn's a good place.
I know where he's coming from. My family owns 3 acres of land. I know where you're going, coming from.
Well,
there.
Well,
exactly.
Like,
see, it's
no
a guy thing,
on
Tracy.
The moon that can't get away with it.
Yeah.
my little brother has made a tree of his own in the backyard. That's where he goes.
I heard that's
the best way to potty train.
Can I say something to you guys?
Tell me
can I tell you guys? Let me tell you something. Men are weird.
Oh, yeah.
You are kind of outnumbered here, Tracy.
No.
No,
all women have three personalities. It's an even match. That's why.
Yeah. When we do our country thing, that's right. When men do their country
that's
thing,
right, no.
we ain't ever going to get poison ivy in a private
place. No, but
there's
me and Diva, so that makes six.
No, she's not in the room.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's on the phone.
You know
we
what?
Know.
Though,
neither
you
am
was
I.
Playing Luther mic. There. You was playing Luther, and I asked him. I said, you probably don't even know Luther. He said, well, I recognize one of the songs, but I had one of them. Moments that where it brings it full circle that I am old. Remember, there was a couple weeks back where Monica Lewinsky was in the news. Right?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
so I was telling my dad about that.
Well, there was a lot of I was around my daughter and a bunch of her friends and my son and a bunch of his friends, and we were all sitting there, and they was like, "Who's Monica Lewinsky?"
Oh! Wasn't she that she might have been chosen to be on The View or something like that?
Nah, I think they were talking about it was the anniversary of the whatever
or
something. But whatever it is, she was in the news, and none of my kids.
Know,
it was funny. They didn't know her, you know.
Speaking of Lewinsky, I am so surprised that she hasn't been able to catapult that situation into a. Oh, okay.
Nobody's going to
at least get a job out at the Mustang Ranch.
No. I mean, hold on. I'll let you know.
I see where you're going from.
I mean, no, because you got reality shows.
Kim
you
Kardashian.
Got, I mean, you got Kate Plus Eight. You got Flavor Flav. I mean, it's really amazing. She hasn't been able to catapult the Lewinsky moment with Bill Clinton into a real something.
She paved the way for Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I mean, that's Kim Kardashian's claim to fame, her and Ray J.
Sure is. But look at
that and her daddy.
No, look at Jennifer Lopez. Jennifer Lopez. Remember that was the Sean John, P. Diddy and the gunshot?
Yeah.
And she was dating him at the time, and next thing we knew, she
Boom.
Was... She was J Lo. We ain't heard nothing from Sean John no more.
Some of my siblings didn't know who O.J. Simpson was either.
Wow.
Yeah, because it was 20 years since O.J. did it, and we heard it on the radio. I said, "Wow, 20 years!" And I remember one of my said
since
one of my
OJ
siblings.
OJ didn't do it.
O.J. Son did it.
Let me
call him on the phone. Ask him to say, is that true?
Call O.J.
Call O.J.
You got to call that Las Vegas jail.
Yeah, he's in jail.
He's in jail.
one guy killing up.
But let me finish. They were like, "Who's O.J. Simpson?" I was like, "Oh my goodness! I wasn't even born when the O.J. was accused." I wasn't even born yet, but I knew about it.
Dang. Dang.
Can you believe that one?
You want to talk about things changing but not changing?
What?
What's that?
How many? You should have saw the reaction when the verdict came out.
Yeah, it was
brothers like, everywhere.
Yay!
White people.
Oh,
it's an outrage! How could that? I mean,
I was working in the prosecutor's office, and so it was amazing. I was like, yes.
Wait, was the Trayvon Martin one? Was that as big as O.J.
No,
or?
No, not even close.
What about what's her name? Casey Anthony.
No.
Was that the biggest case then?
The O.J. thing. What you got to realize is O.J. was married to a white woman, blonde hair.
No,
white
you had.
O.J. was a celebrity though.
OJ had, look, hold on, slow down, we're going to have about 4 minutes. OJ had almost every demographic covered. You had women, you had African Americans, you had whites, and you had men. That doesn't usually happen. When men are engaged because of football, women are engaged in because of domestic violence, black people engaged because he was black, and white people were engaged because the two other people, Goldberg,
Goldman,
you had all types of demographics that were engaged in this,
mm-hmm.
which brought up everybody had their own philosophy of how they viewed it. African Americans, this is the first time that they'd ever known of anyone black ever being vindicated.
Because
mm-hmm. usually when black folks go to the box, they fry. Bottom line, they don't walk
exactly.
away, even if they didn't do it.
Exactly.
And then you had the whole thing with the prosecuting attorney.
And then you had
Christopher Darden.
No, that had a black guy
and a white woman.
Yeah. Don't forget that if
you had all the OJ didn't build a political career.
If it doesn't fit, you must have quit.
Oh, that was.
If the glove does not fit, you must.
Who was that?
OJ. Why else did OJ have
a
black
guy?
His mustache.
Johnny Cochran.
Johnny Cochran.
And then you had the dream team of lawyers. It was one of the first TV. It was one of the first publicly shown murder trials ever.
Even the judge was Ito.
Yeah,
he was Asian. You had everything.
They changed the whole. They changed the courtroom for television.
Everything.
The chair changed. They had comfortable chairs.
They had
it was
prosecutors
wild.
From 42 counties as consultants. Come on, everybody's trying to build a political career on lynching
the black. You had policemen in there. It was a major. Yeah. Everybody was engaged in it for weeks.
Yeah.
And when they announced it was
everybody really the most popular attorney in the country.
They shut down the all offices.
I feel like I'm getting told a bedtime story. Because I wasn't around at the time, so I feel like I'm being told a bedtime story.
Right now, you see that we had a TV. The TV went dead.
Yeah, TV's not working.
But it's like right now, if the verdict was coming down, somebody would have come, knocked on the window, said, verdict coming in. We would have shut down everything, turned on the television. Everybody would stop and watch.
That's it.
Yep.
What about what
they did to Marcia Clark? I mean, they literally disarrayed this woman how she looked in the media. She had to change her look slightly.
She needed to change her look. Let me say this about something. Listen, guys. Wait a minute. I got to make a public service announcement. Ladies, you, God has given you who you are. There is nothing wrong with you trying to go and enhance who you are to make yourself better. Women are supposed to be ladies and supposed to look better. You just don't take what God gave you and just walk out with it. And you don't have to, you don't have to change your look completely to where you look like, somebody else. But you should try to make yourself enhanced to where you are presentable at all times. And you should always take care in how you look. Men don't have to do that, but women, we need to be concerned. No, you need to brush your teeth, and if you don't have teeth, get a grill, and if you ain't got no eyebrows, paint some on. That's why God gave us Mary Kay and mascara.
And Tracy,
right.
From the Chad Anthony.
Amen.
Amen. The sensation's alive there tonight.
Amen. Thank God for Mary Kay, Matt.
Yeah, what God gave you is a starting point. It's not supposed to what you're supposed to start subtracting from.
Is Amir O.J. didn't really get off. I mean, they stuck him. He's still in jail for, what, going on 10 years now over a technicality. I mean, I think O.J., I mean, true enough, he may have did it, but you can't come back years later and stick a guy in jail for, you know, for basically the rest of his life. He didn't even have a gun. Somebody else had it. But they going to stick him because they mad about something else.
Yeah, they got right. That's exactly what happened. I also see Zimmerman get the same thing happen to him.
No, they're not going to do that to Zimmerman. No. I don't like that. I mean, the man got off, okay, maybe 6 months, a year. You don't put nobody in jail. First time offense, you lock him up to the max extreme for the rest of his life?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
and it really was his stuff now. He didn't take everything. It was his stuff.
Who's got all that background noise?
It's probably Eric. You know it's Eric.
Explain to me, how do you steal your own stolen property back? That was the weird part.
It was the fact that it was
Diva,
a chance.
Diva, you
it was
would
a
be
chance
arrested
to stick
too
it.
If you went and did a violent confrontation with anybody, because there's assault, there's all kinds of charges. You know, we weren't there. There should have been some mitigating circumstances that gave him a smaller sentence, but you don't take the law into your own hand and go to somebody with confrontation to get it back. The one person that confuses me about the whole O.J. thing is Mark Furman, why that man still has a career on television after being a liar, a crook, being illegally planting evidence and everything, because at O.J.'s trial, when they asked him, when Johnny Cochran asked him, did you plant evidence? He took the Fifth Amendment. Excuse me. This is the same as Lois Lerner taking the Fifth. If you're an employee of an agency like the police department, you can't take the Fifth Amendment when they ask you a procedural question about how you executed your job, unless, of course, you're guilty. So why that man is still a news contributor on all these stations and everything, a law, a legal expert, an investigation person, I don't know how that man has a career. That man should have disappeared into the woodwork.
Well,
and never
I mean, I can answer that question. I mean, there has to be some racism. There's some racist, bigoted people that don't see that as a problem. Otherwise, if you do and you're fair, then he'll never appear. I'll never give him a red cent. I mean, he should not be able. And a lot of these people that are around here that are still beating people and went after Christopher Donner, those are the same guys that beat Rodney King 20 years ago.
Exactly.
Those are the same guys. Now they high up in the LAPD, and they're going around here doing all this crazy stuff. It's the same people.
I know.
These people are in this, and there's a system that supports them and gives them their, you know, ability and positions and places of power. I mean, people to deny that would be disingenuous.
Mark Furman took the Fifth Amendment on a simple question of whether or not the evidence was tampered with, because if the answer was no, he could have just simply said no. But he probably, if he didn't do it, he knew who did. And, you know, once you answer a question, then anything related to that, you can't take the Fifth Amendment on. Once you answer one question, you can't go after that. And you can't go back to the Fifth Amendment. So he took the Fifth. That tells me right there he knew more.
Well,
doesn't that
qualify
stand.
For perjury or something? He qualifies for something.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, contempt
you,
of
no,
court.
You take
no, it's contempt.
If,
contempt.
Take the Fifth and the judge orders you to answer anyway, you still refuse to take the Fifth, then you're held in contempt. Some judges will allow you to take the Fifth, but it's not perjury. Perjury is when you
basically lie. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And most judges, if you come in as the evidence provider and you start taking the Fifth on everything, most good judges will just simply say to the jury, he will look at the defense attorney and say, I'm waiting for a motion, and to exclude this witness's testimony, and the judge will say, granted, tell the jury, disregard everything you just heard, because this is a bunch of BS, and that's the way.
But then I struggle with that, though, because it's like, if a guy, it depends on certain situations that can be damning to a defense or a prosecution. If you come in and just say something, forget about it. You're a human being. You're not going to forget something.
I understand.
And if you're
thrown
out on a technicality,
when you're coming in as an expert
witness. To be honest and fair, jurors tend to go by what's in the jury instructions. So
in their what?
In the jury instructions. That's how you're seeing these cases, especially in Florida, how these acquittals and stuff are happening. because of these jury instructions. Yeah. They go off the jury instructions. They're not really, especially when you have all that conflicting scientific evidence, they're not paying attention to all that.
Yeah.
That's why Judge could say disregard what you've heard.
Hey, the one thing about O.J.'s trial that I'm tired of hearing, and I hear it from white people, and I hear it from some black people, and both of them are dead wrong, and that is that O.J. got off because he's rich and he had $7 million to pay for his lawyers. And I'm going, thank God he did, because what they did to him, the lynching, it was a persecution, not a prosecution. They got 42 prosecutors from 42 counties as consultants. Everybody was trying to make their political career on the trial of the century. Marsha Clark and Chris Darden got what they deserved when they lost the case. And on top, because believe me, they would have run for political office after that. Bet on
it. OJ didn't have
the average murder trial. The average murder trial.
If OJ didn't have the celebrity or the money that he had,
he'd have been,
would have been facing a death.
But let me tell you what they did to him, Diva. Up until then, the most expensive murder prosecution in history in California was the Manson case, which was only $4.5 million. To prosecute O.J., they spent $44 million. Thank God the man had the $7 million for a good defense team. He'd have been railroaded otherwise.
Yeah, thank God.
So all these people could
so
make
many.
A
honestly,
career.
I think lawyers are overpaid. That's just my personal opinion. But
well, you wouldn't think that if you had the money
and
you were facing the gas chamber.
Well, yeah. If I was facing something, if I was accused, you're right, I would want the best defense. But what I'm saying is,
yeah.
To sit up here and sit in a courtroom. Hold on, let me finish one statement. If you sit in a courtroom and hit a stamp on a piece of paper and you get $150, that's overpaid. I'm sorry, and I saw this with tickets.
Yeah.
I saw this.
I'm sorry, but to get a case dismissed, did you know that a lawyer knows there was no evidence, but you kept basically because your client gave you a retainer, plus you charged by the hour, and you kept, instead of just going for a straight dismissal, you kept delaying, asking for delay after delay, and then you tapped your client with a $2,500 bill and end up getting it dismissed. I'm sorry, that's overpaid.
I had tickets. Diva, I had tickets. I had to pay this lawyer $1,500 just to get the courthouse to say, hey, okay, well, he doesn't have to come to court. We'll just throw it out. All he has to do is pay this amount. Why can't I just come up there and talk to the judge and he do the same thing? Why does it not? You see what I'm saying? It's a racket. It's a guild that they support each other.
That's why I could never be a defense attorney. I'd rather be a prosecutor. That's where
I would
not want to
be a prosecutor, man. I would not want to be a prosecutor.
No, because I don't want to be a prosecutor because I've seen so many people get railroaded and so many prosecutors just do prosecutorial misconduct. They don't care about the evidence. They don't care about the facts. So I would have more power as a prosecutor than I would as a defense.
But it's a tricky slope because if the family comes crying to you about their family member being killed and you have no way of really knowing, you can become bloodthirsty as a prosecutor.
No, not me, because if the facts don't support it, the facts don't support it. I mean, I had to say.
I mean,
I
well, that's
to,
but
I
see
to,
that that's
the,
but a lot of times.
I had my own family where my grandfather was murdered. We know who did it, but the evidence is not supportive of what we know. So, therefore, I have to keep telling my family, like, look, y'all have to understand the prosecutor's hands are tied. Yes, we get emotionally required, why are you not doing anything about it? But if there are no facts, you can't take the court and take it to a jury without showing them the evidence.
Okay, but there are going to be times where the evidence may be in against or for a situation. And a person can walk, and I don't want that. I don't know. If I know in my heart, let me what I'm saying is, if I do some detective work and I see where you clearly did something, but it's just a technicality that you get away and walk away, I hate stuff like that. I hate it.
That's true. That's true. That is true. But that's the gamble you take. But for me, as a defense attorney, I can't imagine defending somebody whom I know is guilty and enduring people that I know, because when I take the bar and I sit for the bar and I go back, I'm going back to my hometown. I'm not defending any of those people. I know most of them people, and I know they're all guilty of the crimes they commit. I will prosecute them, but I'm not defending none of them because I just don't have, that's not the heart I have. I just cannot do it. I can't look past the guilt just because of the technicality or the money. And most defense attorneys, all they care about was the law follow, and that's what their job is to ensure that the civil rights of the person, the accused, has been, due process has been followed. That's their first and foremost job. Me as a prosecutor, mine is to seek justice, and that's what I care more about, more so than somebody's due process rights.
Yeah, well, it's sad, but I've seen both sides. I mean, and a lot of times in court cases, these judges want to put these brothers in. I don't know, if I was a judge, I'd probably put a brother in a different situation. Like, I would send him.
That would have been my ultimate goal. I mean, I've always.
I mean, because you got a lot of, there are judges that get kickbacks from some of these juvenile detention centers. I mean, it's crazy.
Judge. But my ultimate goal, we saw that one judge who actually was doing that, but my ultimate goal was to become.
Oh, that happens
first.
All the time. He just got just got caught up.
He got busted.
Only reason people like that get busted, if you're part of the government or the good old boy network, you're not going to get busted unless you piss somebody off. A lot of times, those people get away with murder. Like cops. Cops can kill somebody, and just by the sheer fact that he's a cop, it's going to take an act of Congress for him to be fired and tried. And when he gets tried, he's going to get a smack on the wrist 9 times out of 10. Rarely will he do the full sentence.
Hello,
sentence.
Can you say Oscar Grant? Dude was
exactly.
handcuffed.
Seven months.
You mean to tell me you pull out a gun because you thought you were going to pull out a taser? But why would you pull out a taser on someone
You know what?
Handcuffed?
I don't care. Let's say he tells him the truth. That don't make a difference. You killed him. So you got to pay for it. And it shouldn't be because you're a cop, you get some. No, you should do at least a minimum of 10 years manslaughter, something. Murder, something.
Murder in the second degree because he was handcuffed. It was the same thing as anybody else. Just because you're a cop, you got off easily because you thought you were. He was handcuffed. He couldn't do anything. So
I saw a video on YouTube. This young guy, man, it was crazy. This young guy got shot in an apartment complex by a cop, right? Walking up the stairs, white cop, young rookie, shot him in the chest. They aim straight for the heart when they shoot people. I don't know why. I guess they want to say you want to put them out of commission. They aim for the heart. That's why Zimmerman shot Trayvon in the chest, in the heart. He aimed for the heart.
He aimed for the heart, but because of the angle, it didn't go straight in. It went in at an angle.
But really, the evidence for Trayvon, it wasn't point blank. It wasn't – the evidence didn't show that it was close enough. No, what I'm saying is that he wasn't close enough when he shot him for his story to fit. He was actually away from him a little bit, which makes it look
not.
Like – so they was right up on him when he shot him.
Trayvon Martin was on top of him, either on top of him when he shot him or Martin was standing – or Zimmerman
So the prosecution had a guy say – That guy was wrong, because I saw a guy say in the courtroom that it wasn't right up the trajectory, and they actually got deep into that. They spent like a day or two on that.
Now I'm understanding what you're saying. Right, he wasn't leaning. He was leaning over him, and because they tried to say he had a baggy sweatshirt on, that's why they're saying it was intermediate range and not close range, because he was leaning over him. And that's how he shot him. But according to witness statements, Trayvon Martin was on top of him. But they don't know if he was on top of him when he got shot. My thing was, I think Trayvon Martin got up off of him when he shot him and was begging for his life. Or they were grappling for that gun when he shot him and he was begging for his life. But the thing about that trial was, the prosecution, is because when they had that one guy who was a bullet expert, a gun expert, get on the stand and say, when Mr. Guy said, having his little dummy doll, he said, how is it possible for George Zimmerman to be able to pull his gun out at the moment that he didn't shoot him? He said, that was impossible. That doesn't matter. Yeah, that does matter, because George Zimmerman said he didn't have his gun out. He pulled his gun out.
One of the problems I have, the problems I have is that if you're reaching to get a gun and I see you and I'm Trayvon,
I won't fight
something
back.
Wrong with
it's fight or flight.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit there and let you aim a gun at me. And I'm sitting, if your story holds up, it's some holes in it. I'm not going to let you hold a gun at me. What was he doing with his hands? Where
but
was Trayvon's hands at the time?
But the thing about it is, George Zimmerman, what the prosecution failed to point out, where they failed to hammer home was, George Zimmerman walked up on Trayvon Martin with his gun already drawn. That's how that fight started. Because when they did that little the fight simulator, the defense attorney paid for the fight simulator to be recreated. Some guy during their little intermediate, you know, the time with the housekeeping with the judge and whatnot, they don't even show it on TV, but they show it on court TV. They asked the guy who made it, why didn't you show him reaching for his gun during a fight? He said, we tried every scenario possible to do that, but it never fit. It never fit George Zimmerman's story that he pulled his gun out at the time that he said he did. Why did the prosecution go with that? They said, put that guy on the stand, but they never did. But they allowed that little video to go back there. That's why the prosecutor, I swear, man, actually, that's why I was so mad about that trial. That's why I want to be a prosecutor. Because it's little itty-bitty questions, little simple questions, and how you question people and how you question things, you can get an answer. And how they went about their question. Now, the other guy was good, and he was very good at getting some evidence thrown out. But I don't know. I don't think the prosecution had a shot anyway because George Zimmerman.
They had a shot. The
like
prosecution had a shot. This is opening shot. It was easy.
Like his, no, George Zimmerman, they try to say, he's Hispanic. George Zimmerman got a white last name, Jewish last name, looked white, and Trayvon Martin just looked like a little black thug. There was no way Trayvon was going to get justice, just like Jordan Davis seeing me get justice.
Well, the Jordan Russell Davis situation with the guy getting killed in the car, I don't know. They say this guy got out, squat down on one knee like a professional, you know, marksman, and started aiming. They drove off. He was still there shooting.
Well, how he first shot was, he said, according to him, Jordan Davis opens. Now, okay, they're in park spaces. Now, you know, if you park real close to somebody, in a door,
he
was in his. No, they were parked in the gas station parking spaces. They were parked so close to each other, Jordan Davis wouldn't have been able to open his door, really. Okay? Because they were parked crazy. So this guy says Jordan Davis get out what looked like a sawed-off shotgun and aims it at him. So he aims
it didn't pull the trigger.
Back. Yeah, he didn't pull the trigger. Right, didn't pull the trigger. Really? Like, he gets out, he's threatening to kill you, but he didn't pull the trigger, but you pull your gun out, so he dies back in his car. Like, he had no time. And then after they pull back, then drive off, this guy gets out his car, gets behind his car, ducks like he's a police officer, and starts shooting again. That's why he got...
Didn't he do, like, what, they gave him 15 years or something, 15 years of life?
They gave him 15 to 20 years for those three attempted murder charges. No, they didn't even sentence him yet. He hasn't been sentenced for those three yet.
They got attempted murder, something crazy. It was something.
He got three attempted murders, and then they came back with a...
not guilty of the one he killed, though.
No. He didn't get a not guilty. The jury was split. So they didn't even come back with a verdict for the murder of Jordan Davis. He has to go back to trial for Jordan Davis. But because the threat was over, and he continued to shoot into that vehicle, and, you know, and the way he was shooting... Them boys is lucky to be alive. Jordan Davis was, man, because way that the bullet trajectory, especially the driver, if the driver wasn't ducking, he would have got shot dead straight in the back of his head. The other kid, the fat kid, the one that was in the front seat, he had at least three bullet holes in that door. And then the kid that was sitting in the back seat with Jordan Davis, he was lucky because a bullet went through the hatchback. And
yeah.
The only reason why they had no choice but to find him guilty on those because they left and nobody seemed to come back. But I don't understand how they couldn't reach a verdict on Jordan Davis because a sawed-off shotgun, that's not easy to hide. They would have found that. Come on now. We've seen enough TV to know that ain't nobody come and pick up that sawed-off shotgun. That boy ain't never had a gun like that. He may have been disrespectful because
it don't
guy
make
out.
It doesn't really make a difference when it's all said and done. I mean, it's kind of one of those situations where it's like you're already guilty. I mean, you're already guilty when you wear your pants on your ass or you have a – look, it doesn't mean you should be murdered. You should be able in America to wear your pants down that low. I don't have a problem with it. As long as you're not showing us your private parts. As long as you got on underwears, you should be able, I hate to say that because it sounds sad, but that's what they do. But the sad part about it to me.
I hate looking at that, but I hate seeing the look.
But yeah, but that doesn't mean you deserve murder. You don't deserve to be killed. That's the problem I have.
And listening to rap music doesn't make you a son. They're a regular teenager. This boy, okay, he has a
boyfriend. If you sell drugs, if you sell drugs, wear your pants low, smoke weed, you do all the things that I think are stupid, you still don't deserve to be killed.
You're right. You're right.
I don't care what no one says.
Unless you get caught up in the drug still gone bad.
And there was a guy from Grey's Anatomy who made a speech about that, about the guy, he kind of looks like...
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he looks like the Meeks guy. But him, he made the speech, and he was just talking about, you know, you run into black guys and you just kill them because all you got to do for a defense is say, I fear for my life.
Yeah.
And that's it? That's a good defense?
That's it.
Because that's really only the only thing George Zimmerman has to stop at least a manslaughter charge was said. All he said was he feared for his life. That's it.
Yep, that's it.
That was his whole defense. I feared for my life. They told you not to. They told you not to engage him, and you engaged him anyway. Even though she's not a cop, that you engaged, you chose to engage him. And Tracy had a guest on the show that made that comment one day. Was like, well. You know, basically kind of pro Zimmerman. She had a pro Zimmerman guest on there, some guy that teach security. It really kind of pissed me off.
Because
I'm saying, I don't care what you say, this guy is dead. And then the guy was trying to use Stand Your Ground. He was saying, well, in Stand Your Ground, I'm like, yeah, but they not even saying that in the case. They didn't use that. So you can't say that. This dude just killed this boy,
listen,
and the boy is innocent.
Listen, Alabama. They didn't use it during the trial because they didn't have to. Came out through the jury instructions. The jury instructions explicitly said that if you felt that George Zimmerman was in fear for his life, he had no duty to retreat. That's the law of Stand Your Ground. That's how he got off. But what What kills me the most about this whole trial is that if you look at the police report even shows that this was at the very least was a manslaughter case because George Zimmerman, by the time he got the phone with 911, and by the time Trayvon Martin's phone disconnected with Rachel Dentel, George Zimmerman should have been back at his vehicle. So how did you and Trayvon Martin come in contact with each other?
He kept
pursuing. You went looking for him.
The guy
Trayvon
murdered.
Martin
that was just cold-blooded murder,
yeah, it was just
as far as I'm concerned.
Murder. Cold-blooded murder, but nobody wants to see it. And then they got black people. They got people like Jeff, who at first was pro Trayvon Martin, didn't watch the trial, but seeing sound bites from other hearing things from other people and saying, well, yeah, it might, no, Trayvon Martin was, no, Trayvon Martin, no, no,
who
no,
said
no.
That?
They
who did that?
I don't know what happened. Jeff used to be pro Trayvon Martin.
Who?
And all of a sudden, after the, Jeff Green, and after the trial.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry. Every time you say it, it sounds funny. Say it again.
Jeff used to be pro Trayvon Martin because as evidence. Yes, Jeff. Sorry. Because he said it looked like all this dude did was get his butt kicked, and then he ended up killing Trayvon Martin. But that's what it turned out. But I believe they were fighting over that gun. George Zimmerman had his gun out when he approached Trayvon Martin. He pushed him. Trayvon Martin saw that gun. It was either fight or flight. Me personally, I'm not going to turn around and let you shoot me in my back. That's just how some people think. You might do that. I'm not. I'm going to fight. And it just happened to Trayvon Martin.
I hate to say it. I'd rather he shot him in the back and killed him that way because it would have been open and shut case.
Yeah.
There's just no way the boy got his back to you. No way.
That's true. But you know how these young boys are. They think they're invincible.
If you're going to get shot from the back,
fight. Yeah.
At least then when your parents got a shot. I mean, when you facing him, fighting him. And then he told a girl on the phone, and Rachel Gentile came out a couple of days ago saying she felt like she blew the case. Yes, you did. Going in there cooning. She going in there cooning. It ain't time to be cute, though. Like, come in there and speak articulately.
But she can't. How's she going to speak articulately when she's from the hood? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, come on, wait a minute. No. Speaking proper English has nothing to do with your parents not having money. I'm sorry.
But the fact is,
I can turn it on and turn it off at any time.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, but we are an exception. We are Inception. I come from a place where I'm considered white. People call me white girl because of how I speak. But most of the people that I know speak like Rachel Dentel. But because white suburbia doesn't get that nor understand that, and that's what made me mad about black people is they turned on her. Y'all know how it is in the hood, especially if you come from, especially if the education is not all that great. They don't care about those kids in schools nowadays. My teacher, my English teacher when I was in grade school, she really cared. She really cared about how we spoke, and she would always be correcting. And she would always, She would always correct us. And so I took a liking to the English language. I took a liking to vocabulary. I love to read. If you're not a reader, you're not going to really be that big on vocabulary either. She didn't blow the case. They just didn't understand her, and she was young, and she was coming from a place where her friend got killed. I mean, that's hard to see somebody one day, speak to them one day, and then the next minute they're dead. I know how that feels. So I know exactly where she was coming from. And then you have this prosecutor this defense attorney who was hammering you and trying to make it seem like your friend, who you know is the guilty party. And that attitude she had came out of because the defense attorney basically was calling her a liar in her deposition, in the way he was treating her in her deposition. And when they got to court, he was a little different. But he was very condescending towards her, very condescending. But black people not understanding that you got this.
Well,
white
I'm
going to
tell you like this, though. I think it's on us.
On this
it's
black,
on,
black girl.
But Diva, it's on us as a people, as a nation, to Africans, just decide when we're going to give up and when we're going to fight. And right
now,
it's time to fight. I mean, when I say fight, I don't mean go out. I mean, I've seen people get upset. Like, this is the thing. Like, the military is an army, right? It's an army. It's an occupying, not military, the police are an army, an occupying army military.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When I look at the cops and I see how they are, the only thing I see that really helps to stop this situation is to accept it for what it is and say, you know what, I'm going to go out here and focus on trying to get everything, you know, the way I need to get it so that I can change and affect this situation. We can't change this situation the way it is now. We can't, and you can't sit and argue with people in a useless circumstance.
The one thing that I'm seeing a movement in Columbus, and I'm starting to see it in Youngstown where I'm from, I'm seeing a lot of black business owners going into the businesses the blacks normally not used to go into. The food service industry, I don't see nothing wrong if you know how to cook. You can't get a restaurant, but you start in a food truck. And you park it right downtown where all those offices are, and you know at lunchtime, them people going to be hungry. You parking it right outside the night.
Well, I mean, in Montgomery, the city council is you can't do that in Montgomery. You can't do that in certain cities. You got to have a base restaurant. The regulations are such that you can't just start a food truck. You can't even start a car wash. The EPA won't even let you have a mobile on-site car wash because the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, is saying that those chemicals – now, these are the same chemicals they sell at AutoZone. But if you use those chemicals to wash your car –
in Ohio, we can have mobile car wash. We have mobile car wash.
You have them, but call the EPA. Watch what they tell you. EPA can – hold on. If an EPA agent drives and sees them, they can pull them over and give them a citation for every car they wash. They can. They just don't do it. But they technically are out of – because I did it. I washed cars for 10 years. I'm just telling you, when it comes to washing cars, that's what they do.
Like, I just got rid of my – like, when they say black people are lazier, man, whatever. I just got rid of my Hispanic gardener, lawn care provider. Because I told him to do my mulch while I was gone, didn't do the mulch. Then he charged high prices. So when a black guy came around and was like, wow, you know what I'm saying? You cut your grass. They ain't take care of your mulch. They ain't take care of your mulch bed. I was like, yeah, I told him to. He's like, look, this is what I can do for you. He was the same price and was willing to cut me a deal for becoming a new customer. So I let the Latino guy go and went with the black guy.
Yeah.
And he makes sure he closes my gate and it's locked.
Well, I'm going to put it like this. You got black guys that a lot of times know things, but when it's all said and done,
they don't have the know-how to get the fund, the financial, you know, funding and resources to go out and get this stuff done. And that's really the sad part about it, is that we don't have the resources. Yeah, and when I say something like, when I say start small, a lot of times people don't want that. Easiest way. Start small where you don't have a lot of money. Just start with whatever you can get your hands on. You know,
right.
Whatever
well,
you can. If
and,
you need
and
a walk-in,
the,
you only
right.
got a walk-in lawnmower, take the walk-in lawnmower and use that. Don't worry about trying to get a big, heavy
right.
$3,000 riding lawnmower because you don't have the money yet.
Right,
but
you'd be surprised.
Like
but you'd be surprised even if you got to push more, how people will take your business, how people will really want to. Like, man, I was praying for somebody to come around and cut my grass when I first moved into this house because it's a large house and it's a large front and back yard. I'm like, plus I'm allergic to cat grass, and I was praying. So I was like, man, if anybody came with a push more, I was gonna pay them the amount they asked to cut this grass. But another business that I'm seeing in black.
You know what, though? Back in the day, in the 80s when I was a little kid, people used push mowers. They did. People used them. Now,
yeah.
People, like, I got to have a, if you think of business, you got to have a $2,000 zero-turn lawnmower that runs you about, you know, $2,000, $3,000 a piece. You can't do that.
Oh, my baby girl, she just departed. Yay! Yes! Oh my gosh, all right, get ready to head to the airport. She's about to be in.
Yeah.
I can't wait. My baby daddy, my ex-husband, I swear.
What?
That's a problem with me. Okay. My daughter's ready. I was going to let my daughter spend a whole year. Oh, you know what? I'm going to call you on the phone. I don't want to talk about this over.
Yeah, because I'm still listening. I'm writing all this dirt down. I took a part-time job at the NSA. I'm at the low-tech division of the NSA. I got
to
actually call you up to hear it.
Oh my God.
He's going to snitch to the government.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear half of what you were saying, Diva. I'm sorry. Because I was working on a spreadsheet
that didn't work out.
With 1,000 clients on it. I'm trying to sort out a database. So anyway, but I was just listening. It's good to hear you two chat. It's good to hear everybody talking and not yelling on this line.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, we can do that.
It does get old. So was it before I got on earlier today that somebody was cussing?
Alabama made Philadelphia go off.
Really?
Yes.
But Philadelphia ought to know better.
Yeah.
Wait. Now, I didn't attack. I didn't say anything.
We're condescending.
Well, okay, but that's the usual operating procedure
right.
when you're in a debate with a lot of times. And all I said was, you said that 30 minutes ago. I guess that was upsetting. Wasn't trying to take it personal. And I said repeatedly during his rant, look, man, I'm calm. I did say that. I wasn't trying to go there.
He took offense at your tone
okay.
as where – you were trying to
yeah,
make
but
it I, like
why is it? But what
about
my tone was? What about my tone was physically intimidating? Like I don't
nothing
get that. When me and you go,
nothing.
Me and Diva go at it all the time. I don't think I intimidate. I think she handles herself pretty. I don't think she is intimidated, even though I hate
and
what she may be saying.
Intimidated.
So he was like, "Well, I'm not scared. I wasn't trying to take it to the street." Who said that? Who said that?
Well,
I was trying to be a physical intimidating character. I didn't say nothing like that.
I think that it was just he reached a boiling point because I think he thinks you were trying to make him sound and look stupid. That's what I think that.
I wasn't trying to make him look stupid. All I said was, look, man, you said the same thing 30 minutes ago. I wasn't trying to say nothing personal. And I just sat there probably the first 4 minutes of the break.
That's how he took it.
And I wasn't trying to take it there.
Yeah.
We know
there's
that,
Alabama.
You complain and cry all the time about how much time somebody take up. And you take up just as much time.
So there's two things that Diva does. One I applaud her for, and the other one I wish she wouldn't do. And I'll tell you straight up what it is, little Miss Diva. I love when you come back at it. I love when you get feisty and you just go tooth and nail. I hate when you go, well, nobody wants to listen to me, so I'm just going to hang up. It's over. It's over. I'm never calling in again. We don't need to hear that.
Yeah, we don't, because we know you're going to call the next day.
But don't tell us we've whooped your tail and you're going to go off and cry somewhere. We don't want to hear that. We love the Diva that comes at you.
No, you don't. No, you guys do.
Yes, we
not.
Respect you more when you're that way than this pull the chick thing and go. Well,
I
can't be.
But let me ask you guys this though: with Brown, like sometimes that's happened a time or two where. Is there something about me when I talk that makes people feel like I'm trying to bully somebody?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't get
yes.
it.
And here's what it is.
Yes.
Here's what it is.
Because I don't think I'm like, well, I'm not in your face. I'm 1,000 miles away from you.
Hang on.
And
hang on.
I'm
hang
not
on.
Physically. I'm not, nigga. I'm going to come whoop your
you're
ass.
Doing it.
I didn't
you're
say
doing
that.
It right
you're
now.
Doing it right now. You're doing
here,
it right
let
now.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you what the problem is. You're friggin', you don't hear when somebody's trying to answer you or talk back to you. You keep cutting people off. Which infuriates them because it looks like you're just doing a diva on them or a maid.
Okay.
I don't say diva. I take that back, diva. But
well, let me ask you this:
today when he talked,
I was like, "Am I muted?" Because I was talking, he just kept going.
Yeah, no, that's different.
And if someone talks slow and monotonous, and they're making a point that you knew the missing about 30 minutes ago, like if I talk and you know 5 seconds into my conversation what I'm about to say. And it still takes them a minute to say it.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I understand.
And we got 45 seconds or something
your
on
cell
a break.
Phone, your cell phone doesn't duplex. And there are times when Tracy's trying to get your attention or someone else is trying to get your attention, and they can't get in a word edgewise, and that's where the frustration comes from. It's your cell phone. Okay?
Right.
It isn't
but
you.
The fact, No. Sometimes with Alabama is the one thing that I hate that he does is he takes.
I didn't ask for you to hate
Alabama,
me. I'm saying, do I say something that's physically intimidating to where? Because Brown said, "You don't scare me." I'm like, who am I trying to scare? I'm not trying to scare anyone.
I don't think he. I don't.
That's what I'm talking about.
Just,
I'm not talking about what you dislike about me.
I just think those words just came out of him being highly frustrated because. He feels, even though it was, may have been a misconception because I didn't take it that way, but you made him feel like he was dumb. It was his insecurity that was coming out.
Okay.
That's why it went so hard.
Let me make a peace offering. In about 4 minutes, I'm going to have a large pepperoni handmade with mushrooms pizza delivered. You two are invited to share it with me. You got 4 minutes.
I'll catch a nice next flight over there.
All right. Listen, you're close enough. You know, you're only 5 hours away from me when you're over there in Atlanta. You know that, don't you?
You pay
yeah,
for my flight, I'll be there, because you know us liberals like things for free.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm not charging you for the pizza. I'll even give you a napkin and a place at the table. I'll even pull out your chair and show you I am a gentleman.
Dude,
most
we
of the
want
time.
The whole enchilada. We want everything for free. So the flight got to be for free, too. What are you talking about?
Uh-oh. You're going to make me buy you a drink, too. Oh, we're back to that discussion.
Yep. Yep, you're going to buy me a drink, and I'm not even going to give you my number.
I love you guys. Take care. Have a good weekend. Bless you.
All right. Alabama, bye. I'll call you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.